welcome everybody to another live episode of Game Time here on Tuesday afternoon in the lovely land of Los Angeles. I am one of your hosts here, the Outlaw John Rocha, and I'm excited to welcome to the show these two gentlemen here. One has been riding or dying every week on this show. The other one is showing up because he knows he's got his horse to park for a second to talk about some big issues happening in the world of sports. But right there next to me behind the green screen trying to show off to everybody, he's got a studio in his bedroom. Winston Marshall, how are you, man?
I mean, you mean my apartment? Because my apartment is a bedroom. That's it. That's how I live, son. And yes, I was just shooting PVPN. You want to see? Because you got this tight ass angle. You know, you got the lights and shit.
Look at that.
All set up. You know what I'm saying?
I got to teach you to put a logo of yourself behind yourself on the green screen when you're on.
I mean, I can. You just can't do that. Can you do that in the? Oh shit!
Yeah.
Hold on.
Uh oh. There you go.
Yeah.
A brick wall. Really? Yeah. I don't know if a brick wall.
It was the first thing I saw. I just clicked the first one available. I'll put another one on. What about this? Whose bedroom is this?
There we go. I think that.
Whose living room am I in? My hair right. On fire. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Let's move on to a little more professional nature. The man sitting in a real bedroom over there, a real living room over there. Mark Ellis, how are you, my man?
Yeah, you know, it's a typical Cowboy fan to steal that much time from my intro with all my credits that I could have had. So I'm just going to show Winston what my background is that I don't need CGI for.
I don't need
any sort of technological wizardry to conjure the image of John Riggins breaking Don McNeil's tackle and running straight into history.
Well, you should, because I'm sure we're going to talk about it. You should go ahead and just edit out all of the imagery on the helmet and the name on your chest. Like, just take it all away.
I love Winston saying, I think we're going to talk about it. Of course we're going to talk about it. Not the first thing. It was going to be the first thing we were going to talk about. But yes, that gentleman right there wearing that number 10 Gus Frerotte jersey for some insane reason. He's wearing that number.
Is it Frerotte? You're better than that.
Oh, RG3 repping what could have been the greatest rookie year in the Redskins history ever, RG3.
You're wearing RG3, huh? Well,
I hate Shanahan until the end of time for what he did. That was our future. But anyway, we're going to definitely talk about the name changes and all the controversies that happened around that, and also the Cleveland Indians. We're going to touch on all of that. That guy right there, Mark Ellis, he's incredibly sweet, gentlemen. He's one half of the Schmoes. No, he is one of those commentators that gets into it with the competitors on the Schmodown himself. He's a pundit. He's a host. He's a critic. He's a writer. He's in all kinds of things.
What do you mean?
Rotten Tomatoes. He's just incredible what he does. Who knew?
What do you mean I get into it? I don't mix it up with competitors unless a certain hot-headed competitor brings it to my doorstep, and then I will address the issue as needed.
I am bringing it to the doorstep. Yeah.
Yo, there are two people that have been in the recent memory have been complaining. There you go. How you like that, motherfuckers?
Have you found a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Would you like me to put up the five trophies? Because I could do that. Because I got time, motherfucker. I'm gonna get them. But I'm gonna tell you right now. There's only been two people in recent memory that I know of that have been issues.
Yeah.
Roka always will complain about something.
That's a competitor.
I get it. The other one is Ben Goddard. I just watched the Ben Goddard Robert Parker thing. That fucking shit is like, Goddard's my man. I fucks with Ben Goddard, but like for real, bro, like you just gotta suck that shit up, man. Like, I don't think you did anything wrong.
It was all like the internet loves to run with this stuff and they want to have a congressional hearing about everything. Clearly, if you go back and watch the tape, Goddard and I, before we went to camera, we got together. We're like, hey, we need to make a moment. We need to make something that's going to steer the ship in a direction that everybody can have some fun with. And so him and I practiced that for at least 3 months. And it's just nice to see a labor of love like the Kakaw come to fruition.
It's fantastic.
I'm just saying, like real champions, like you know how many times that we would practice free throws and motherfuckers would be out there be like, hey, your mama's a bitch. Oh, your mama's a bitch, and I fucked her last night. Yeah. And I fucked her last night. Like we would just do all sorts of random shit because you needed to zen in and just go.
Just a game, man. It's just a game. Like, calm down.
You're one to say it's just a game. You better come on now. That's the pot calling the kettle Latina as fuck. Brown.
Anyway, let's get into some news today. Please remember, we've got Streamlabs. The super chats are open. There's no Schmobot in here, but please feel free to send in your $20 donations, and we'll do robot voices if you need them. Just don't interrupt Mark Ellis with it. Let me see what I've got going on here. The first thing is this 10-year – I was going to lead with the Redskins stuff. We got to lead with this, though. The Chiefs have just agreed, as of 1 hour ago, to a 10-year contract with Patrick Mahomes. That's insane to me. 10 years, and it's in essence a 12-year contract that you're getting there for Patrick Mahomes from the Kansas City Chiefs. Pretty in care. The injury guarantee is $140 million per his source. We get this from Adam Schefter over there, and the extension is going to be worth $450 million. This is madness. He's got 2 years and 27.6 million left on his existing deal. And the 10-year extension, as we said, is worth over 400 million. So the lowest his 12-year total could be worth is $427.6 million to throw a football. Ladies and gentlemen, please tell me what you both think about this madness.
I mean, make that money, boo-boo. I don't know what else to say. Like, what, I mean,
Super Bowl $450 million. Yeah, Joe Theismann is going crazy right now.
But anyway, but there's a couple things at play here. I mean, the first and most important being, did you see how he played in that Super Bowl? Have you seen how he's played these last couple of years? And even with the injury, see, I hate, I'm so zoomed in. Can you zoom us out just for a second so we can see this in all of its gloriousness?
Oh my gosh. One last time, you stop playing with your toys.
You don't have to hit
the, oh, god damn it. It doesn't matter. The point is, I mean, if you saw the way that he performed in this Super Bowl, he more than deserved. If as long as Mahomes continues at this pace, that's money well spent. And you figured it out in a way that you probably, provided he does all this anyway, he would have been paid that amount of money. But you probably saved some money by doing that, and guaranteed you don't ever have to worry about this again. You just want to show all my business.
Yeah, go ahead.
Disrespectful. See, this is exactly how you Washington Football Club fans are. You know what I'm saying? I refuse to say your name. I'll say your name when it disappears, all right? But my point is that I respect it. Like, if you wanted to do this with, like, a Dak, I'd have a problem. But he's an MVP. He's an MVP. Yeah. He's a Super Bowl MVP. He has, which also means he has a ring. Mm-hmm. And he's doing wizardry that we've never seen. We love Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson looks like might be an evolution of that, but Lamar couldn't handle it in the playoffs. And so – we're going to have to wait and see what Lamar ends up doing before we get anoint him. Same with God, what's his name in Deshaun Watson. Watson is showing some crazy wizardry as well.
Yeah,
that's a little bit of a shit show down there. And his injury, he came back, but he didn't necessarily come back as gangbusters as he did, like Patrick Mahomes did. So I respect it. Get your money. And especially in this league when quarterbacks have become so important. Lock that down. Don't worry about that anymore, because you've probably structured it over 10 years that it's not that big of a hit to you.
Right.
And you keep it moving.
Yeah, Ellis, this feels more like of a believable contract for a player who deserves it. This isn't the Flacco situation where we suspected that this was just a one-year wonder type situation with Joe. Although Joe had consistent numbers and good years with Mahomes, it feels like there are many Super Bowls in this kid's future. What do you think about this contract?
I think it's mostly great. And I will tell you that just as a fan of the league and as a fan whose team has a very young quarterback who hasn't proven anything yet.
Yeah, true.
I love this move because this forces the hand of every other team to have to reconfigure what they're doing if they have a star or a wannabe star quarterback, because the salary cap, kids, is going to go down next year. And so now teams are going to have quarterbacks on their team who say, well, I'm almost as good as him. You have Dak Prescott currently saying stuff like that, and the Cowboys still can't give him a deal. So I love that this causes chaos with the other 31 teams, because that's a smart business move on the side of the Kansas City Chiefs. For Patrick Mahomes, he clearly enjoys Kansas City, and so I think that this is good for him. It's financial security. You never have to talk to the press about, oh, well, do I want to go here? Do I want to go here? You never have to worry about being franchise tagged. Here's the one bugaboo that I have with this deal is that that is a lot of time, and that is a lot of money. So for every durable quarterback that we've seen in the NFL, like a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers or a Brett Favre, somebody like that, I could tell you about a quarterback like an Andrew Luck, like the guy whose jersey I'm wearing, who started out very hot and then all of a sudden, just for whatever reason, injuries, mental health, there's a myriad of possibilities that just don't lend themselves to playing in the NFL for that long. And Patrick Mahomes in his young career has already had a little bit of an issue with an injury as recently as last year with his ankle, so which I can sympathize with. So I think that with Patrick Mahomes, it makes total business sense on his end because he's protected against getting injured or some sort of catastrophic thing. For the Chiefs, I love it for the most part. There's just a little bit of Bobby Bonilla contract frosting on top of it. But I'm not going to rain on their parade. They got their guy. He's an all-time talent. And Rocha, he doesn't just throw the football. He throws it from multiple arm angles.
He does.
And run with it.
Yep, you're right. And he leads teams on comebacks as he did in the playoffs last year.
Whatever
deficit they were behind, having someone like Mahomes means you're never out of the game. No matter how much time is left, no matter how much you're down at what stage in the game, you're never out of the game. Over the last two seasons, Mahomes is ranked first in pass touchdowns, first in pass yardage, first in wins, first in total QBR, and first in yards per attempt. So you're definitely paying for a guy that you see to be a consistent producer back there behind, standing behind center. But I think you bring up a great point, Mark Allen. Look at this situation. This is a long time. Andy Reid most likely will not be coaching through these full 10 years. So what guarantee do you have as a player that that coach is going to come in and be able to take your team, because it is a team sport, to the Super Bowl and let you have a chance to win multiple Super Bowls? And this could be Josh McDaniels' situation in 2 years. Andy steps away. He's not a young guy and says, like, you know, I just can't do this anymore. I need to take care of my family. And then this young coordinator comes in and can't get the job done with Mahomes. Then you've got a frustrated, angry quarterback that you're going to have to pay out a monster buyout to make this situation go away. Isn't this dangerous for the Chiefs possibly in like 5 years or 4 years?
Well, look at another team in the Chiefs division with the Denver Broncos. Like, once you have a quarterback that is as established with the Super Bowl as Patrick Mahomes is, I think that if Andy Reid retires, you don't think the front office is calling Patrick Mahomes and saying, hey, you want to take a look at these coaching candidates and see who jives with you the best? You don't think that when Dan Reeves retired, Pat Bowlen was like, hey, John, you want to tell me about the Shanahan guy? Do you think he's going to take the ease off you? What do you think? Or even if Tom Brady had stayed with the Patriots and Bill Belichick had decided to retire, I'm pretty sure Robert Kraft is talking Tom's ear off about who to replace him with. So Winston, I don't know about you. I think that this gives Patrick Mahomes a lot of power, which normally you would panic because you're giving that much to a player. But I think already in his young career, Patrick Mahomes has showed himself that guy is going to be a head coach after he retires.
Good point. I mean, the only thing that Patrick Mahomes has working against him is he sounds like Kermit the Frog. That's literally than that, don't come at me, Rocha. Look at the number of jokes that people have made about his voice. Literally out here being like, yo, man, are you cheating on your fiance with Miss Piggy? Because, like, for real, you straight up sound like you might be. So, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's the same way that you didn't give LeBron nearly as much money when he like went back to Cleveland, because he likes structuring those smaller deals. And part of it has to do with the fact that it allows for them to sign more players. But also, if he's like, fuck this, I'm out. Like, fuck this shit, I'm out. He can hop out. And the fact that, like, but regardless, they give LeBron the power to essentially almost play GM and be like, I want this guy here. I want that guy. I want this coach. Yeah. This has become kind of a standard that if you have a once in a generational player, you kind of got to give them some leverage, because what's to stop them to go, well, fuck you. If you're not going to give it to me, I'll go somewhere else.
Right.
Like, I'll take my talents to another team. Like, can you imagine how happy Chicago would be if Patrick Mahomes, if they didn't give him this money, and he'd be like, you know what? Fuck it. I like Chicago. I'm going to go to Chicago. Jerry would lose his shit, but they can't afford a contract like this because they have more tight ends than there are people in the NFL.
There it is. So there's the shot. There is the shot.
Well, I
know. I respect it. And the fans will respond in kind, I'm sure. But look at the situation. They're picking up the last 2 years of his contract immediately. He is due to make only $2.8 million this year. And then next year, or 2021, he was going to make $24.8 million. So this Kermit the Frog mofo is making an insane jump in terms of status and money level, taxes level. Like, this is a massive, massive jump for a young man. Normally, I would be worried about him. And what you said, Alice, I think you're absolutely right. The guy does convey a kind of calmness, a relaxedness, and a maturity you want to see from a young kid like this. There's a reason Andy Reid dumped Alex Smith as soon as he could to give Mahomes the reins of the offense. He knew what he had in this young man. And so you're seeing it now being rewarded. And I wonder if they've had the conversation already. Someone already mentioned the chat where Eric Bieniemy is sticking around until Andy like hangs it up in a couple of years. And then Eric slides right on in, not missing a beat, and takes over for Andy and leads this team to a Super Bowl with Mahomes as well. I wonder if Mahomes had some guarantees put in there that that conversation will happen as well. Like you said, he's got that power now.
I'd have to get my eyes on the contract to see what exactly the loopholes are. I'm on the sideline, mic'd up when they were playing the Texans in the playoffs and they got down 21 or 24 nothing, yep, or whatever it was. He's calm. He's fiery. He's getting his teammates fired up, but he's doing it level-headedly. He's being a leader. And to do it at that precocious of an age with Frank Oz's hand up your ass the whole time is really, really impressive.
Because, like, this is the other thing, just taking a quick glance at it, the questions people are asking. One, what's the signing bonus? Because that hasn't been announced yet. Nope. Two, you know, how much of it is fully guaranteed at signing and how many years does it cover? Because essentially, depending on those guarantees, every year essentially almost becomes like a one-year contract in a certain sort of way. Someone else is bringing up the fact that does it guarantee a percentage of the salary cap? And then fourth, is it a true 10-year extension? Or are there parts of dummy years that can be voided on the back end? So, like, at first glance, just hearing it, it sounds ridiculous.
Yes.
But since we don't actually see anything other than just the raw number of 450, 10 years, you know what I'm saying? This, yeah, could be one of those situations 3 years from now if, like, you know, knock on wood, because I don't want this on anybody, but especially Patrick Mahomes because I really like him. Like, if his knee goes out, that, yeah, all of a sudden they're like, fooled you, you're done, boom. And then, like, the contract's dead. You know what I'm, right, saying? Like, right. I'm very curious how this actually plays out.
And this is interesting, too. Mark, you understand this. You've dealt with egos before. He now becomes the highest paid sports superstar in any league, in any sport, surpassing Mike Trout. Mike Trout was at 427.5. Mahomes coming in here at 427.6. It's those little
427. Things. I thought it was 450.
No, 450 total because they're picking up the 2 years, but the 2 years were already kind of there for him to have. So 427 is what the total is going to be for the 10-year contract, because this essentially signs him up for the next 12 years in essence. So you look at this situation, Mark. I mean, this also shows you, and these people have he has the right agent who understands this is also about status and ego. Once again, he's 24 years old, but he also understands, like, the long game. You talk about him possibly being a coach. This is good for his status to be sitting here, to be constantly mentioned as the top paid sports figure all across the world of sports.
Yeah, I mean, I deal with a lot of egos. I'm talking to one that hosts the show right now. And when you have that sort of thing, all you want is you want somebody to have, yes, the ego, have the confidence, cockiness, whatever it is, but have the ability to be cool under pressure. And I think that that's where a lot of people hear big ego or big money, and they might assume that you are one style of player where you have a history of, yeah, guys as far back as Bill Russell, and then you can go to Tim Duncan, you can go to somebody who just is as cerebral as they are talented. And I think, yeah, that Patrick Mahomes looks like he fits that mold. Again, he's coming into this contract looking like, you know, talking like Kermit the Frog. He's going to leave talking like Yoda, because that's how long the contract is. So I think that, and I'm going to tweet those two pictures later, so if everybody can just retweet that, that'd be fantastic. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what kind of dollars and cents the other football sport clubs kick around. Roka, you can speak better to that. But I've seen big contracts for soccer players, but I think that, yeah, this is where the NFL, yeah, is going. The NFL loves this. To secure a star in one place with jerseys that you can sell for the next decade, as opposed to the NBA with all its greatness, it's a very transient, I root for this player league as opposed to this team. And now the NFL gets to have its cake and eat it too.
Well, here's a question. Do they love that though? Because they like to sell jerseys. If you already have a Patrick Mahomes number 10, you don't need another one of them motherfuckers. So maybe they want your ass. That's why they keep giving these little ass contracts. So then you do decide, fuck Kansas City, I hate this place. And then you go to fucking San Diego, which there's no team there anymore. I don't know why I pulled San Diego out of my ass. I guess I just been thinking about the fact that all the Angelinos decided they really want to go to the beach. They're going to go to San Diego. You dumbass, you're going to catch COVID. So then you go down to San Diego, you get a jersey, put the Chargers on it. Nobody watched the Chargers, so you bought that shit for no fucking reason. Just use it for kindling the next time you do a barbecue. And then your ass goes over to Boston and play for the Patriots. God help me. God help me.
Mahomes has a real chance to surpass Tom Brady. I'm going to say that right now. I could see 7 Super Bowl rings on this kid's hands. I would not put it other if the right coach slides in, the good and the right GM in this situation for the next 10 to 12 years, we could look at this guy being another dynasty, the Chiefs being a dynasty. You know, this is a legendary team from Lamar Hunt all the way to now. This is a team that won the Super Bowl with Hank Stram. This is a team that has been there before. This is a team that has constantly been perennially popping up, but never quite hitting that promised land since that Super Bowl victory. They finally got it done here under Mahomes. And this is, I mean, Montana went there. It's got a legacy, Kansas City. This could be a team that could replace New England.
You sound a little bit like when Billy Packer, God love him, used to do March Madness, and he would reference like the 1948 Cincinnati championship and how that relates to Nick Van Exel today. Like, I don't know that the Chiefs gleaned a lot from Hank Stram, other than
just say there's a legacy here, man.
Ball down the field, but your point is valid. I know that we look at this with recency bias and we say, well, the last 2 decades, the Patriots have owned it. I think that now we can give those 6 champions. Who's going to be the next team? I value the history of the Super Bowl too much to tell anybody that, yeah, I can see you winning another 5 Super Bowl. I'm not ready to do that yet, because I think that there is a lot of parity in the league and a lot of competition and a lot of things can change. So I'm not giving him 5 more Super Bowls. I think he does have at least a couple more in him.
Yeah. I don't want to jinx the kid either. I'm a knock on wood.
Don't jinx him, because that's a system. And I'm remember, Andy Reid's ass. Do you know how many times Andy Reid had to attempt to get to this point? He got here once before, and Donovan McNabb's flabby ass wasn't ready. Terrell Owens got here. Donovan McNabb was throwing up in the fucking huddle like a bitch.
He was sick, Winston. You know,
sick with I ate too many goddamn Philly cheesesteaks. Come on, man. Wow. That's what it is. And Terrell was trying to tell y'all. He tried to be like, look, it's not me. I'm out here with my leg is falling the fuck off, and I'm ready to fucking go.
Wait a minute. You're going to take Terrell Owens' word about anything? Are you insane? I would not listen to you about a damn thing.
Over Donovan McNabb? Yes.
You mean the skip master?
Look,
the 5-yard skip pass is the best. The 5-yard.
Look, I'm just trying to tell you, Donovan McNabb, for everything that he did and everything that he did, as people also in the division, and we're very aware, because y'all took him for a few years. What did he really do for you when he got over there?
Nice time.
Yeah. That's my fucking point. All right.
Bruce Smith and Donovan. I don't know which was the worst free agent we ever picked up, but those.
He was a good. He was a good leader, though. Kill Donovan McNabb, because McNabb for a while there was one of the scariest players in the league to go against.
Fair. I mean, if you want to bring up 1940 championship, that's fine. Philosopher King here, some super chats here says, if Pat gets $400 million, how much will Yama get? $350 million? Who's Yama? Am I missing on this? Yama? I don't know.
Isn't that Llama?
Llama, yeah. Llama is how you say it in Spanish, motherfucker.
When you say llama, do you say llama in Spanish?
Is that correct? It's my language, you know.
No, I'm just asking the question. I'm not challenging you. I'm literally Jesus.
Something slaps. You know, that's your language. I say llama.
Back down. Back down, sir. Jesus fucking Christ.
Answer the question. Who the hell's my llama? I just want to know. Mahomes' deal is biggest in sports history. Yeah, Brandon, we covered that already. Thank you very much for that super chat. Let's see, we got a couple more. A lot of you all watching, 168 of you all watching this live. Thank you so much. Please remember, hit that like button, hit that thumbs up button. Thank you so much for joining us here. And let me see if I've got one more. I think I have one more here rolled through, a couple more. This is Randy Constance. He says, wait till Tua gets that 10-year, $500 million deal. Are you kidding? Are you out of your mind? Tua, not with that leg. Sorry.
That's the thing. I don't think he'll ever get that because of that gruesome ass injury. He might get a contract. He might get like a 5 or 7 year deal, but not 10. Unless you throw the entire of the NFL at that leg, and now that he's part cyborg, it never breaks. I would assume that he would never get something that long.
Yeah. If he wins the Super Bowl in the next 2 years, maybe. That's an interesting conversation to have. By the way, the difference between Trout's contract and Mahomes' contract at this point, from what we know, there's no idea, as Winston said, how much is guaranteed. Trout's entire contract is guaranteed. That's how you make that money. 427.5 is guaranteed. That means you can burn money for fun, for God's sakes.
People are mad. They're like, stop the McNabb slander.
Sorry, he was right. He's a borderline Hall of Famer you're talking about.
Is he though? All right, that's fine. Flash 18487 says Ace Cabrera is starting to look like the 2007 New York Giants. They are both underdogs, and their road to victory is starting to look the same. Face it, Winston. Ace is the new Eli Manning.
Ooh. So that is word for word a quote that happened on SEN Live last Friday.
Oh, okay.
But see, what y'all don't understand about me is that you got me for like the 10-15 minutes that it happened.
Yeah,
I move on from shit so fast like that. I thank you for the $10. I'll say that much. I appreciate your money, but I don't give a fuck about that quote anymore. I'm over it.
Okay.
If Ace wins it all, great. He's Eli Manning. I'll fucking take that shit to the bank and laugh.
Yeah. I mean, he's not the underdog in this match. He's way ahead according to all the fans. So
do you want to do this? Do you want to waste game time to talk about this? I'm about to go talk about this. On the Star Wars preview. I'll do that.
Nobody thinks we're going to talk about it. It's a shame.
That's a shame. Wow.
Our next question. That's Brandon Berry. Says worst quarterback in NFL history. Heath Shuler.
No.
What's the fat boy for the Raiders? They paid all that money too. First round draft pick.
Raiders Russell.
Thank you.
That's a tough situation there.
Yeah, Jamarcus might have been. Jamarcus in the running. Heath Shuler's in the running for biggest bust, as far as the quarterback, just because he was taken so high. But he threw a pretty deep ball. We're not fooling anybody. He was not what we thought he would be, and he wasn't even what the Saints thought he would be when they got him at a bargain basement price. But Heath Shuler, as far as the worst QB in NFL history. I can't get that.
Who's that guy that keeps throwing interceptions that keeps staying in the league? The guy that was Peterman. Backing up in Buffalo?
Peterman's
the worst.
Oh, Lama was Lamar.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that. Slow down.
I didn't see the super chat. I was just trying to read your comments.
You start swaggering around. Haskell 420 said he meant Lamar, not Llama. Autocorrect. Yeah, Lamar Jackson's not going to get anything until he wins a Super Bowl or gets out of the first round of the playoffs, for God's sakes. You're not going to pay him that much until he gets into an actual AFC championship or even a Super Bowl, right?
He'll get money, but it would certainly help. It'll help how much he gets because he just won MVP, right? If he wins another fucking MVP, if he wins any other accolade, they'll pay him almost as much money.
Okay.
I think that Lamar Jackson, if it is scary to think about, if he makes a similar leap this season for what he did last season,
agreed.
Then you are starting to talk about a guy like Patrick Mahomes. But I don't know. I feel like an old man saying this, but I still think Lamar Jackson's MVP. I need to see more, especially in the playoffs or in a big game, because the Ravens are going to have a lot of big games. Their schedule is going to be tougher this year. So I look forward to watching it. I think he's going to be something special, but I still need to see more in the playoffs or in a pressure-packed moment than I did last year. And I even feel dirty saying it, but that's what I need to see.
He might, I don't know, man. He might become Peyton Manning, and then he'll eventually get a ring or two. He just is not a playoff player.
Or he could be Randall Cunningham, who's constantly getting close but never quite gets over that hump. That's possible too.
Don't you do that? Don't you put that on that man's name? I mean, you're right. I'm just saying.
Some people, Tim Tebow is the worst ever. No, Tim Tebow won a playoff game. You can't say that about Tim. He beat those Steelers. Johnny Manziel, also a big bust. Yes, I agree. Absolutely great points. She was crying over the fact, I think, that Mahomes got went with Chicago. I think she was saying that. Or went with Kansas City over Chicago. Brandon Barrett, dark horse MVP pick, Kyler Murray. I could see that. I liked him last year when he started coming on. I like the way he plays. I think him and Kingsbury have a real shot at shocking some people next season if we get on the field. So
he's in such a tough division, though.
Yeah.
With the Seahawks always perennially competitive, and what the 49ers are doing, the Rams could have a bounce back season. That is a tough division to play. And then Lamar Jackson, I know that the Steelers are always going to be formidable, but who the hell knows with the Bengals? Who the hell knows with the Browns?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they seem like the funny thing is the NFC West almost feels like the death division that the AFC North is, and the Steelers and Ravens and all that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if Lamar can do it, if Kyler really has that same kind of skill, I mean, you never know, man.
We'll see. Well, speaking of the NFL, let's jump into the big story. Why I brought Mark Ellis on here, why he was gracious enough to come on the show is, you know, we're both lifetime Redskins fans for quite some time. It's kind of hard to say the name, but we have to talk about the issue here. And that is, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Mark Ellis, there is a real wave of public sentiment to have the name finally changed for the Washington area professional football team, sports football team. And this is, on our lifetime, I thought I'd never see the day, and now, and of course, Winston, as a Cowboys fan, you chime in on this one. But Mark, I want to get your thoughts on this. FedEx put a lot of pressure on them. Nike has taken down the Washington professional football team's stuff off their website. Ron Rivera said a change in coach would be awesome, and as typical, Danny Snyder's out of the country for all of this. So tell me what your feeling is about this. Do you think it's going to happen for real, or do you think they're just kind of waiting this out because the Redskins released that statement, said they were reviewing the name change and going to go through this process, blah, blah, blah. What's your actual sentiment or feeling here or reaction?
There's two things that are pointing me towards the direction of believing, knock on wood, that we are going to get a name change. And number one is that you can throw all the public sentiment at me you want, and it's great to see it. It means zilch to Dan Snyder. What does mean something to him are dollars. And the fact that FedEx wanted a name change and they're the sponsor of the field and a big corporate partner, the fact that Nike took the merch off their website and Nike also requested it, that's what speaks to Dan Snyder's sentiment. Now, the other thing that lends some credence is not the statement the Redskins put out. It's not the, oh, we're going to review the name change. I've heard that my entire life. What does is that there's people who are in the know, like Adam Schefter, who fully believe that a name change is going to happen. So that leads me to hope that they know something that is just not public yet that we don't know. I love Ron Rivera's stance on this, saying that he is actively working, in so many words, to find a suitable new name for the team. But I also have my doubts, just because of living and dying with this organization my entire life. I just have not seen that kind of progress. And I'm going to go off on just a little bit of a rant here. So I apologize even to Cowboy fan Winston. But I'm just going to tell you all where I stand on this, just so everybody is clear how Mark Ellis feels about this. I want a name change, and I've wanted it for a long time. I also believe that the original owner of the Washington Redskins, George Preston Marshall, and his wife, who wrote the song Head of the Redskins, I think that they were racist. He was the last owner to integrate, along with everybody else who was back in the times, but he still was the last one to reluctantly have to sign Bobby Mitchell. However, I do not think that the team adopted the moniker Redskins to be racist. I do not believe that that is rooted in racism. The term Redskin was actually coined by Native Americans to help associate dealings when they had to either talk to white people or black people or whoever you're talking to. However, that name, as great as the history may be, no longer has the same connotation. That's what we're talking about today. We're not talking about how the name originated, that, oh, well, it wasn't meant to be racist in the late 1800s, early 1900s. How does it sound in 2020? Does it pass the eye test, the ear test, and what is the connotation? It is not a positive connotation to say Redskin or to call someone a Redskin in 2020. And so as much as I love history, keeping the name feels a little bit like hoarding to me, where I've moved so much in LA, I have no attachment to any material possessions anymore. But there are owners out there who keep every comic book that's not, who keep every baseball card in their mom's place, okay? And this is what we're doing. All we're doing is we're just clinging to the past because we feel like that is going to have some meaning. And I'll tell you this right now, John, you know this as well as I do. If they change the name to Red Tails or Warriors or Hogs or whatever it is, I'm not going to try to lock in on the one name I'm rooting for. I just want it changed. That is not in any way going to diminish any of the memories that I have at RFK Stadium, at FedEx Field, with my family, particularly with my dad and I, him teaching me life through the lens of the Washington Redskins. It's not going to change the run that John Riggins had. It's not going to change Doug Williams and what he did for an entire nation. It's not going to change what Mark Rippon did in his legendary 1991 MVP season. Doesn't change what Sammy Baugh did. Does not change what Sean Taylor did. This is not going to change any of your memories. All it's doing is ushering the team that we all love so much into a new era, and I think it is the right thing to do.
Yeah, I couldn't echo your sentiments any more strongly, Mark. And yes, definitely deserve applause for that. Couldn't echo your sentiments any more strongly, my man. We will all have the memories. We will all remember the Super Bowls. We will all remember the game. For the sad ones that have only been born in the last 25 years, you'll remember the terrible 25 years, for the most part, of being a Redskins fan. Changing the name does not erase any of that. And people trying to put it into a political landscape have no concept of what's happening here. This is a slur. It needs to be changed. Done and done. There's no question that this needs to happen. And it has been quite some time this needed to happen. I remember in the 90s when I first started hearing about these protests, I had no idea. I'd always grown up with this idea that this was a proud organization, a proud name, a proud team. They fought. The logo is a strong face, very much not like, you know, like the old Cleveland Indians logo with the big smile and the big eyes. Nothing like that. It was a very strong, strong face. So in your mind, you just could delude yourself that this is a positive thing. But as you get older and you become more aware of the world, you understand that this can be hurtful to some people, and it doesn't have to be everyone. Everyone doesn't have to agree. Social change or right change does not have to have 100% unanimous vote on this. It's, are enough people offended? Are enough people hurt by this? Are businesses stepping in and threatening to take money from you? Are governments telling you we will not have you put a team or rather a stadium in our city until you change the name? Then it's time to change the name. And don't be foolish, all the people who are against this, to think that Danny hasn't already been planning this for quite some time. He's a businessman. There's a reason they went through that trademark stuff. They wanted to keep it. It saves, it's good PR for him and saves face with him for the people who want to keep the name. But there's no way he hasn't had some kind of exploratory commission, even if it's loosely official, exploring the possibility of changing the name and what names actually work. I just don't want us to go through what Abe Poland did with the bullets and have like surveys and the, you know, it's stupid names thrown up. Let's have something really strong to take the place and move on. Winston, you're a Cowboys fan. You're looking at this, all this happening. You're also, you know, obviously African-American gentleman. You've seen this stuff going on and changes going on in our world so quickly over the last few weeks. What's your feeling about this one, man?
I mean, it's funny, as a Cowboys fan, that really has no credence on this whatsoever, because even if it was a completely different division, if anything, I feel like I always had the higher ground on the Redskins fans and everything else like that because of the name. Because I was like, at least I don't support an organization that's racist as fuck. That. So I would much rather that be gone and we could keep this like 100 and just about football. I would like to, before I really get on my thoughts, that I would just like to say to Mr. Barkellis, I felt personally attacked when you were saying you're holding on and hoarding things from, you're like, every time I move in Los Angeles, I leave all my possessions. And I'm like, bitch, my mom literally gave me a bin full of like old stories when I was a child. I used to write about make-believe lands where all the superheroes live together in harmony and shit. Like, you just making me feel like a piece of shit. I don't appreciate that, but that's fine.
I have a little bit. I have a little bit of hoarding, but that one used to hang in my dad's study forever. And so that's like the one, like when I moved today, it's really just that painting. And it's already, the frame corner's already messed up. And I'm just like, I tell the movers, I'm like, hey, just make sure this is okay. And they're like, well, you know, there's a nick in the corner. I was like, just don't hurt it further.
That's fair. But I'm just of this mindset. I mean, there is something that we should obviously just address, the elephant in the room.
Oh,
we're at a turn. Nothing that anybody did. We are at a turning point in this country. We're going to make this decision. Are we actually going to stand for something and treat everybody with an equal round of respect? Or are we going to let that darker side of our soul, which has technically been the foundation of this country, be the thing that goes forward? Like, and you've seen that in how the responses to George Floyd, to Breonna Taylor, how you're seeing, like, for example, what over the weekend, Jimmy John's had employees that decided to make nooses out of dough and pretend to like hang each other and shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You're seeing the darkest part of the soul come out, because at this point, I guess in the same way that like you see, if you're watching like a spy movie and if someone's got garrote wire, how they fight even harder and harder when they think they're about to like choke out and die. You're literally at the point where we're deciding. I mean, I guess I've got these rope choking metaphors in my head because of the fucking, but whatever. The point is, you see people fight harder when their back's against the wall and they feel like this is it. Yeah. So when you're the fact that we are calling out this racism now, you are seeing people lose their fucking shit. That's why people are screaming All Lives Matter and shit like that in defiance and stuff like that. You're seeing these random lynchings that are fucking happening because they're literally like, you're not going to take my way. Like, fuck you. Yeah. Whether or not the racism at its core, but this idea that they can't just do whatever anymore is really freaking people out. Those are most of the people that are fighting the name change at this point. Because at the end of the day, this is just coming down to respect. You are literally having a group of people that says, this is disrespectful for me.
Can for quite some time, by the way. This is
a long time.
This isn't SJW new territory. This isn't liberal snowflakes. This has been going on for 3 or 4 decades. And probably earlier than that, but 3 or 4 decades where it's been documented and followed, and you've seen the protests outside. You can go back and do the research. You'll find this. This has been happening for quite some time. It's only now picked up legitimate steam thanks to FedEx and Nike and other people involved in financial.
Which a lot of that has to do with, again, the era that we're in. That, like, you know, people do not understand, and like it is heartbreaking. And in all honesty, I would much rather have George Floyd back than to have this be the catalyst to get there. But he has set off his passing has set off a chain of events that shit is just changing left and right. And this, that is the only potential silver lining is the amount of things that are changing, and this being one of them. Yeah. Then good. I hope you understand when I say good, I mean that as far as like, thank God that something is coming out of this.
Yeah.
So I've seen people come up with all sorts of stuff. I make the argument again for, like you said, it's about the memories. It's about the organization, about y'all have done. I say walk away from all native paraphernalia and or names. So like people want to name it Warriors or stuff like that and try and keep the fuck that. Don't do that. Just stay away from it. Go. You could, like, people have been mentioning the Sentinels, like joking about the replacements. I actually don't hate that, especially because that's like a strong name that kind of feels like that. People have said the Red Tails. I love that because that's giving homage to the Red Tail, the Black Air Fighting Force, the Red Tails that played in World War II, especially considering DC is known as Chocolate City. I feel like that would be an incredible homage to the large portion of that population in Washington, DC. I feel like you have a chance to take, instead of something that's so disrespectful, put something mad respectful. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like, I think that there's, yeah, and yes, the Prince's Promise is murder. Yes, I understand it was a murder. What I'm literally saying was just that you know, that it had to happen for all this, but you guys understand what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Go ahead. John, if I may, I feel like this issue, particularly to people who are diehard Washington Redskins fans, like John and I have been since birth, and the people who are steeped in that culture and particularly the higher ups in that organization, what I think it would do the world good to realize is that you have been taught since birth that this is not only a good name, this is a name that honors tradition, and and you're taught all these things. And while that may have been the intent originally, and I do believe that, things have changed, and it's been such a seismic shift that we have to be cognizant of that. And that if you're not learning from history, when you try to honor history and you don't learn from it, then you become that. And I don't want my team to become history. I want my team to be progressive and continue to move forward, but on and off the field, and to have my support going in to a new generation and hopefully to a new team name. So I think that this is a much more nuanced issue than people are giving it credit. I think it's a lot more complicated than something like the Confederate flag. But you look at the Confederate flag and you look at how so many NASCAR fans felt so betrayed by NASCAR because they couldn't bring their almighty flag to an event. And NASCAR said, we do not care. You are less the kind of fan that we want. And we would rather be appealing to a new generation of fans who do understand what progress is without erasing history completely. And with the Washington Redskins in particular, I'm not going to get hung up on what the name change is. I'm not even going to tell you that I think that they need to adopt something that is not in any way resembling Native Americans, because I think that you get into a very gray area where if you name the team Red Tails, white people have been very oppressive to blacks, just like they have to Native Americans for hundreds of years. And so I don't know if it's any more right for a white guy like me to wear a Red Tails jersey than something that is a Warriors jersey that's honoring Native Americans. So before I go too far down that path, I just I want to remind everybody that this time in our life and in our world, it feels a little bit like I'm back at RFK Stadium because my dad had nosebleed seats. You'd be way up there. And what was beautiful about it is that you could see a play unfold. You could see a deep pass and you could see the receiver make a move and do a fly pattern or a post pattern. You could see the quarterback and you could see what was going to happen, hopefully. And that's where we are in this country. You see what's going on. You see protests. You see slogans. You see hashtags. You see, hopefully, an administration that is starting to crumble. And you see a new world rising up. That's what we all hope and pray is happening. And is the Redskins changing their name going to be the biggest signifier of that? No, it's not. But it's going to introduce a whole new crop of fans to a team that they previously did not want to think about or associate with because of the name. So now, instead of everybody being born in the DMV area and going immediately to, well, Ravens sounds great, a lot better than Redskins, you can have a team that appreciates this history of the players on the field and the people on the sidelines and in the front office without having to deal with the constant BS that is associated with this archaic name. Get rid of this name, keep the team, keep everything else, move on, and let's be part of a good cause.
Yeah. Absolutely. And just to add on to this, also ESPN reported this earlier today, three minority owners of the Washington Redskins are seeking to sell their shares in the team because they're, quote, not happy being a partner with Dan Snyder. The Washington Post was reporting this as well. They cited sources familiar with the deliberation. Prominent businessman Robert Rothman, Dwight Schar, and Frederick W. Smith, who combine make about 40 or own about 40% of the team. That's a massive number. They've hired an investment banking firm to undergo a search for possible buyers, one of the sources told the Post. So if this goes through, this is one step closer to someone else taking over this team from Dan Snyder. So that's also something to consider as well. This public sentiment is growing and people are jumping on top who maybe have been hesitating or not sure to make certain moves. Now these businessmen step forward because like, this is a bad deal for all of us. And once again, I'm going to tell you this, if you look at this in a vacuum, you're not looking at it correctly. I think Mark Ellis made a great point. This is a much more layered, nuanced, complex issue to explore, but its tentacles reach out to a number of locations. And those tentacles are coming back to now to this one central hub. And that's, we're going to see what those tentacles bring back and combine into to make this change for this organization. And hopefully they do make the right change.
And John, if I can just put a button on all this, I appreciate y'all going with my diatribe, but it's been like, this is like 39 years of just wanting to have this conversation with people who I appreciate and value their opinion. Is that like, look, when I wake up on the day that they announce the name change and they'll announce what it is, and I hope that I feel compelled to do some sort of vid, even just like Instagram Live, just to talk about it and get my feelings out. Yeah. I cannot make the promise that I'm not going to get emotional, that I'm not going to shed tears, and that it's not just tears of joy. That's going to be part of it because finally we've wanted this. But anytime there is something that you have cared about since you were born, anytime that you were born into a tradition, when there is a seismic change in that way of life, it's going to cause you to reflect on your entire life. And that doesn't mean that you're crying because, oh, I can't believe they got rid of the name that I grew up with. But it's just thinking about everything that has gone into that and everything that me and my family and the memories that my dad and I have associated. It doesn't mean that they're ruined. It means that it gives me an opportunity to look back and think, okay, these are the kind of values I was taught through this team. And now they've made me the man I am today. So with that perspective, I can take that and say, well, yeah, we should change the name. And this is a good thing. Yeah. So if you are somebody who's saying, oh, well, I can't believe they're going to do that to my beloved tradition, I am the same as you. I promise you. Okay. And I might be even a bigger fan than you. And not only am I okay with it, I know it doesn't change the history. I know it only makes the future better. So please get on board. Dan Snyder, if you're watching from your private jet that's over there right now, just do us all a solid, man. We want to root for you. We accept that you bring Tom Cruise in the booth, and he's a curse of bad luck every time they show him on TV. But look, man, I'm tired of seeing a stadium that is half filled with the other team's fans. I'm tired of seeing a moribund franchise that people just get to pile on and say the Deadskins. I am tired of all of these last 30 – you want to talk about tradition? Let's talk about the last 30 years when we've done nothing since 1991. Let's talk about that. So what are we really clinging to? It's time to hit the reset button. Let's do it, and let's do it while I still have eyes that can see a television set and cheer for my favorite team.
Here's the biggest thing about it too. If y'all change it, you've turned a page. Yep. That takes so much weight off your conscience. I bet you every black player on there that's like, God damn it, I'm a sellout. I'm out here wearing this damn name on my chest. My homeboy, you know, he's Native American, and I'm out here wearing this bullshit. I'm only going 75% because I don't even believe in this. And then all of a sudden we're like, what? We named the Washington Kick Your Asses. Hell yeah, I'm gonna kick your ass, motherfucker. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Like, I just feel like you're the burden will just lift off y'all. All of a sudden, y'all gonna win like 20 Super Bowls in a row.
Two things need to happen.
God help us.
The name change. Danny needs to sell the team. And maybe 2A is Jack Del Rio needs to shut his goddamn mouth. That would be another thing, too, on Twitter, because I guarantee you that guy ain't finishing out the year if he keeps pulling this bullshit, because black men are not going to follow a guy who is overtly tweeting about All Lives Matter on his Twitter and claiming that he is just, you know, free to say whatever he wants to say. You can say whatever you want. You're not free from consequences. Any of that negativity around the team has to get washed clean. Get it out of here. You need to take a look at that.
Doing that. If that's the case, you just gave me one more reason to hate y'all.
That's fine. Please. I'm cheering against Jack Del Rio. Screw that guy. All right, we got some streamlabs real quick. I know we lose Mark in about 7 minutes, so we're going to run through them real fast. A lot of people sending stuff in. Thank you all so much. Andrew Burnett says, which will start first, the NFL, the NBA, or Major League Baseball? Also, potential names for Washington, the Washington Krakens and the Cleveland Direwolves. Oh, Jesus Christ. We're going to get into Cleveland in just a second. Answer is N-O-N. We will not be getting any professional sports in 2020. Do you guys think any of the leagues will start on time? Do you think the NBA, MLB, NHL even came out with them? NFL, do you guys think we're going to have sports in all four of the major leagues by the end of the year?
I think NBA, yes. Major League Baseball, I think that they're just going to – try to grind through, but I'm just not ready to say, yeah, we're definitely having a season, particularly when stars like Mike Trout are saying, yeah, I'm not into this. But the NBA, I think, is going to happen. And the NFL, college football, I'm pessimistic about it. And it's not a huge pessimistic stance. I think I'm like 60-40 on the side of that we're not going to have a season. Okay. But whatever they decide, I'm going to be cool with. All right. I want to be healthy for the long term, okay? It gives the Redskins more time to come up with a new name and print new jerseys, and then we'll be ready for 2021.
Fair point. Winston, what's your thoughts?
Let's see. The NBA will come back. I don't know if this experiment to finish the season will actually play out, but I think that they might get their next season going by the fall once things have calmed down, because I think things are just a little too hectic. I don't really trust in baseball, though they do say outdoor sports have a better probability of this happening than indoor sports, just by the nature of the distance and everything else. I don't know enough about hockey to make a decision. I think if any of the football organizations will, I think the NFL, only because there's more dollars involved, slash you're dealing with grown men that'll probably sign away said waivers. It's not to say that you don't technically have adults in college football, but we don't even know if college is going to happen.
So if
that's the case, and then you also throw in the fact that with college, you're hearing these stories of, like, in Alabama, these kids that are throwing COVID parties where everybody pays for ticket money. They invite someone that's infected. And if you are the first person to get diagnosed with COVID, you win the pot. Like, are you fucking kidding me? You are literally asking for college to stay close. I don't know if college sports makes a comeback this year, which might not be a bad thing. Because to be honest with you, if you're also trying to get to the point where these kids are not being taken advantage of and they're being paid for their performances, that potentially opens the door for them to – I still don't believe you need to pay the millions. I think that's ridiculous, but I think they should be able to earn off their likeness and just convert some of their shit to work study. Literally make it that every player has an opportunity, because I did work study to help, like, pay for booze, let's be real, and to save a little bit of fucking money for, like, after college, which I didn't do. But my point is, you gave me an opportunity as, like, a regular person to go and work.
Right.
You're not giving them that. They're putting in you know, 16 to 18 hour days, with the majority of that being to go practice football or basketball or whatever. If you literally just make it a job and you don't need to pay them crazy amounts, shit, whatever the standard work study is, pay them a little bit more than minimum wage. And I know that kind of fucking sucks, but at least you're fucking putting real money in their pockets and giving them an opportunity. They're working. They're literally working. They're making you billions. The least you could do is that.
There you go. All right. Well, Winston just took up the amount of time we got left here with Mark Ellis. 3 minutes. All right. 3 minutes real quick. DaVisca
Production. I give you another 10, John, if you need. I give you another 10.
All right, thank you. Well, let's get through these real quick. And Winston, keep the answers short. DaVisca Productions, so excited that my Chiefs locked in such a great talent in Mahomes. It will be interesting to see if we can survive current and future cap hits and win championships with younger talent before they hit their money or older talent on their way out. Yeah, certainly. It'll be interesting, that's for sure. He sent another one. He says, you, my man, Eric Bieniemy, is groomed to take over for the Big Red Walrus. Oh, hi, Mark. Did you bring your embarrassing photo? Hashtag Winston Fonsworth. Hashtag Zoot Suit Roka. Yeah, last week we had some embarrassing pictures of ourselves put up on here, Mark. And so I guess the fans were asking if you brought anything, but I imagine you haven't. So
You can just go to my Instagram feed. Half the shit I post on there is pretty embarrassing. So have at it.
Especially those box jumps. All right, DaVisca also asks, what do you think is the most effective way to bring a rookie into the NFL? The bar has been set by Mahomes. One, sit the first year. Two, win an MVP. Three, win a Super Bowl. Does that make sense to you guys? Or is it all different case-by-case basis in terms of how you bring along a quarterback in the NFL now?
I think that you come into the league and you see what people like Patrick Mahomes has done, but you also see what – there's dynasties that have not crumbled, but have aged. And we're in an era where you're building new dynasties, which is why the Chiefs made such a great decision with this Mahomes signing, is that you're building a culture. So people will want to go there, and they might take pay cuts, and they might do X, Y, and Z just to get to a culture and a fan base like that, particularly when you have that guy being your quarterback. So I don't know that, you know, Trevor Lawrence is going to come in and assume that, oh, my life's going to be exactly like that. Most of the rookies that come into the league are going to have the Joe Burrow experience.
So yeah.
If Joe Burrow ends up playing great and the Bengals go to the playoffs this season, I'll come back on the show and eat my words. But I think that's still the overwhelming majority of rookie experience is going to be more like Joe Burrow. You may be highly touted. Congrats on your national championship. It's a different league. And if you get drafted by Andy Reid and you have Alex Smith to shepherd you, you have won the lottery, even bigger than signing a $450 million contract.
Yeah, fair point. And here, just something for Mark to enjoy right there. This is what we meant, Mark Ellis. Yikes, there was the three of us from last week embarrassing ourselves on the show.
Wow, I would.
I don't know, man. I think everybody here actually has something to be credited for, for real.
Okay.
I think that if I'm a dad and the three of y'all show up wanting to take my daughter to prom, I think I'm sending her with Jay.
Yeah, I think that's the smart move.
Really?
It looks like he just finished winning an academic debate year. The only black guy on the team. Yeah.
Yo, but here's the problem. Jay is rubbing his hands like fucking Suge Knight, bro. Oh, you don't want to send your daughter out with Suge Knight? Are you out of your mind?
Like that young Emily somewhere real nice.
Because here's the first thing. Yeah, you don't send your daughter with John, because John has looked like he's somewhere between the age of 40 and 60 the entirety of his life. Like, I don't know what. Bro, you look like a grown-ass man continuously, which is not a bad thing. Like, that's good, bro.
Keep going. Huh?
Like, I mean, you look, in that photo right there, you look like a grown ass man. Like, pull that shit back up. Pull that up.
I was 16 when I took this photo.
No way. You were 16? My nigga, you look like you would have gotten 50 pensions by now from all the different jobs that you were able to retire from. Are you?
No, I'm not. My daughter is not going to the dance with a gentleman who wears shoulder pads.
What about a young man with a bow tie?
Like they weren't in. They were in back then. Damn it, you remember?
What about a young man with a bow tie?
She's not going with shoulder pads, and she's not going with Bizarro World Pee Wee Herman. She's going.
First of all, how dare you?
Spelling Bee winner Jay Washington.
How How dare you, sir? All right. I brought no cards to be able to say to you about how special your daughter is, how I'll have her home at a certain point in time. I'll be respectful the whole time. I have a full detailed history of your family history to make note that I am so sorry about the passing of your grandmother. I know she was the great matriarch of your family. Like, come on, man. I'm prepared.
Respect that.
Hey, Layla, you never bring a Cowboy fan back to my house again.
Never. All right, Tavishka donated a couple more. He said, Roka, I'm a Chiefs fan and a Native American. You should have had me on this show, even though I'm a few beers in on an empty stomach. Hashtag gotta eat. Yeah, no, Tavishka, I would not bring you on the show. God knows what you'd say. But he did follow up to say, Ellis, preach. Snyder only cares about money, and he has enough for the rest of his life, which is like 5 or 10 years since he is old as hell. Please, money makes you live longer. Everyone knows this.
He's not old as hell, though. He's going to be around for a long time.
He's like barely 50. The guy has like been around for a long time. All right, two more super chats here. Streamlab came in from Fillmore Pockets. Just donate a little bit. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Fillmore. Got two super chats if I can find them real quick. Here we go. Daniel Haygood said, is Patty Mahomes' contract extension on the agenda? Yes, Daniel, we talked about it at the top of the show. So go and rewind back to the top of the show and enjoy our back and forth about that. And then 156 Impulse. Talk about a kid who looks 15. Hey, guys, huge fan. Go Ducks and 49ers and the St. Louis Cardinals. All right, respect that.
That's a random assortment of teams, but whatever makes you happy, playboy.
Anaheim, San Francisco, St. Louis. I'm good to go.
Well, you know what it is? Maybe if he's from L.A., yeah, and you didn't really have shit down here, then you just pick in the stuff that you kind of like that's also maybe a bit regional because it's a little close to this area.
I guess. I like this. Fillmore says, I look like a school superintendent in that picture. I do.
Woo! Let it continue. Let the roast go, son. I've already told y'all, you look like you have solved every case in the SVU Rolodex in that suit, bro. You look like Detective Roka came in here and is like, if you have anything, here's my card. You give me a call. Like,
Jay, my eyes are up here. I like this. Color me bad. That's a good one. That's a good one for the three of us. I think so. I think women looking at Jay's picture got pregnant just looking at that picture.
Jesus.
Yeah. He wishes. All right, here we go. Cody Erickson, you never walk alone, Liverpool. Absolutely, brother. Yeah, 30 years, finally winning the title. Some people were commenting here about the question earlier about, well, major sports. We meant major sports in America. Major sports in America. Of course, the Bundesliga, the Premier League, a lot of soccer leagues have already started playing. Rugby's been happening in New Zealand. South Korea had baseball, I think it was. And so certainly there have been other countries that have had their sports come back. But America is kind of the hub of these four major sports. So that's what we're talking about there to answer that question. Not trying to be xenophobic. So just want to make sure everybody understands that. All right. We don't have any super chats or Streamlabs left. Mark, if you got 5 more minutes, thoughts on the Cleveland Indians situation now as well. That's being explored. Terry Francona is on board, thinks it's overtime to do it. So is this the beginning of dominoes happening now? Do we think the Chiefs are on the clock? The Braves are on the clock? Any number of Native American imagery mascots for college sports is on the clock. What do you think here?
Well, I think I was this close last week to having a tweet. I just couldn't get the wording right, so I didn't want to put it out. That, you know, breaking news, the Redskins and Indians agree to change their names by trading them to each other. I think that we've been taught, and I can't remember which grade I was in school, but there was a watershed moment where you do not say the word that starts with I, referencing Native Americans anymore. They are you can call them Native Americans, indigenous people. Yeah. You do not call them the Cleveland one anymore.
Right,
and
right.
When you marry that with the mascot that is, I mean, you can say you want about this name. The mascot, that is something that you can hold up and be proud of to honor and fight for. The Cleveland Indians mascot, it's a joke. I mean, it's a bad joke and it's a racist joke. And so I think that this is all for it. And when I saw that news last week, I said, hopefully this puts even more pressure on Dan Snyder to change his name. So I think that this is all good. I don't mind a thorough evaluation of every team name. And there's going to be people that say, well, where does it stop? I mean, Raiders and Vikings used to rape and pillage. Okay, I get that. But we're talking about actively oppressing a group of people who have been basically fed a shit sandwich by white folks since the day that the first one arrived on this continent. So I think that it is a little different based on the history of Vikings or Raiders and what's actually happening today. So I'm all for whatever teams want to change their name from whatever, but I think that Washington and Cleveland are two of the biggest examples of this shit that's in the garage needs to go.
Yeah. Winston, thoughts on that? The same? Yeah, there you go.
All on ahead, man.
All right. A lot of people say leave Florida State alone. They are supported by the Seminole Tribe Nation. That's for sure. And that's between Florida State and the Seminole Tribe Nation to figure out. I don't think the NCAA is going to pull out a
purchase. I just think they need to stop with that damn chant.
Oh, listen. My girlfriend, who is half Native American, hates that fucking chant.
And that chant needs to stop.
Well, the Chiefs stop doing it, too.
The Braves do it. And that was one thing that I was always happy that the Skins never did. The Redskins fans had every right in the world to say, oh, well, all the other Native American franchise names are doing this. Why don't we do it? I was so thrilled that we never adopted that.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. 1,000%. Mark, all right, we should let you go, brother, man. 307, I know you got to run and do your things. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. What do you got working on? What do you got going on? What can you pitch and plug here before you drop off, my man?
Well, I used to be a comedian. If you want to remember those good old days, you can go check out my special dog, Stepfather, on YouTube or Amazon right now. Now I'm just going to head to cryotherapy to get this treatment. And I'm just I'm living in the past. Okay, I want us to change our name, but everything else, I'm just remembering the good old days of when I used to work regularly and I used to get up before noon occasionally. And I still have this, so I guess I can leave you guys with that. So what a sweetheart. God, if you guys only knew the real disaster I have to deal with that dog on a day-to-day basis. Hey, look, thanks for having me on the show, John. I know that you and I have had this discussion for it feels like even before you and I met each other. I'm sure we bumped into the hallways at RFK when we were both kids, and I was a kid and you were a grown man wearing a shoulder pad suit, and we talked about the thing. But thank you for the platform that I just haven't had to talk about this issue at this crucial moment in the team's history. And Winston, I you know I hate everything about your Dallas Cowboy team, but you showed a lot of patience and letting me go off on my riffs today. So thank you very much. I look forward to texting you Thanksgiving.
Five rings for my team. Fuck you, five.
I like that. I like five. Five horses. Way to go. Way to go there.
Boo that shit. Boo, 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 boo.
We beat you when it counted. We beat you when it counted. All right. Well, there you go. Mark, thanks so much. And, dude, honestly, like you say, we've talked about it, so I appreciate you coming on here. And best of luck, and we'll see you soon. All right, that was Mark Ellis stopping in. So much fun to have him on the show. I think we can switch to that one. Boom. I know you got to drop off soon, Winston. So let's move on to our next story. Or is there something you want to talk about? The Bucks or the NBA stuff? What are you feeling? What are you feeling right now? What's in your mind? What's in your mind right now? So we're talking about the Cleveland.
I mean, we could talk NBA.
Okay. Yeah. This the Milwaukee Bucks, they've shuttered their practice facilities. This is the second team. The Nuggets did the same thing. This is starting to spread. Players are not coming. Players are not showing up to come. I mean, DeAndre Jordan's not going to do it now. Mm-hmm. Spencer Dinwiddie finally came back for the Nets, but the Nets have like seven players left on the roster, Winston. So, and they're in seventh place. They can make the playoffs, no problem. And even they don't want to play out the string here for the most part in Orlando to be a part of this. So, even if we do get basketball back, is it going to be worth watching, Winston? That's the thing that keeps rolling around in my head. Rustiness, of course, but players not wanting to play because of risking their lives for their families or whatever. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot going on, and I think that it just doesn't necessarily make sense to come back. Yeah. And my argument was from the social justice standpoint of things, but I think the other, like as far as now, I get afraid that if we get back what honestly is a distraction, like let's be honest, sports, movies, all that stuff are big distractions. People are going to be more absorbed into that than they are about the stuff that we're actually trying to make a change for right now. Yeah. So there's that element of it, but there's the other more important one that just brought up. We're in the middle, like we never really left the first wave. So yeah, we're still in the middle. Like people like to call this the second wave. It's really not, because we never really got those numbers down. We opened up too soon.
Yeah.
I do not blame them for being like, look, it's not worth it to risk my life, especially for a lot of these players. You hear all the time about like, let me take some time off so because my kid was born, et cetera, et cetera. Like there's a lot of these players that have full-blown families that they have to think about. Okay. And if they go off, and like I know the money is important, but if they go off and they potentially get sick, now you can't be around your family. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like that's – it just doesn't seem worth it right now to me, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I think you look at the situation. You got like Doc Rivers said in this quote here for USA Today. He's like, it's just a hope. But when we get to the bubble, it becomes the safest place in America. That's their hope. That's what they're hoping for. It's the illusion they're operating under. But J.J. Redick said there's absolutely no comfort level here. None. I know the league and I know the union has tried to create this environment. I get it. But there's so much else going on right now. And Damian Lillard, even the Dame himself from the Portland Trailblazers, he said, my confidence ain't great because you're telling me you're going to have 22 teams full of players following all the rules? When we had 100% freedom, everybody don't follow all the rules. I don't have much confidence. That's something I've been saying and banging the drum on since the beginning. Winston, I think you feel the same way. There's no way you're going to contain all these people and not have them, you know, push the boundaries of what they can and can't do. Because as a young man, that's just a natural instinct, right?
Not just that. Look at as obviously this is a much bigger example, but look at how COVID has gone.
Yeah.
Just getting people to wear masks
has become
a massive fight. So what makes you think that even if you're taking a smaller sample size, so what are we at? What, 350 million?
Yeah.
Let's assume there's at least 350 players in the NBA, which sounds actually about accurate.
Yeah.
That means on average, if you're saying a good 25% of people refuse to wear their masks that are out here protesting about it or whatever the fuck else, you're telling me if you take 25% of them 350 that are going to be out here again, pulling in side chicks, fuck you. I'm going to go to this bar because it's open. Like I'm going to go to the beach, kiss my ass. Like that's all it takes. And as people have mentioned before, Florida is a hot spot at this point. All it takes is one person breaking those goddamn rules and this whole house of cards comes tumbling down.
Yeah. I mean, you're watching MLS, Major League Soccer, right? Just to make a reference here. 9 Dallas players tested positive off one person. 9. That's insane. And now they can't play. You know, the MLS is trying to bring back the league in some weird-ass tournament to start the league, rather. And now that team can't play. So you're seeing this happen across the board. 25 NBA players tested positive for COVID when they just did the recent test. And both Michelle Roberts and Adam Silver came out and said, well, we're actually encouraged by that. It's not as much as we expected. One is too many. Because one gets to 10. One can get to 10. 10 gets to 100. And then what have you got at this point? You've got a workforce that's just subjecting. Yes, I'm sure they're signing affidavit, NDAs, or whatever it is they need to sign, waivers or whatever, so that they can play without suing the NBA. But still, how many of these people go home if they lose and don't make the playoffs, go right home, and maybe they're just at the beginning of having it, and they give it to their wife or their grandmother or their mother or their father or whatever. And then at that point, how much of this can you hear in the news that's going to sully your brand name, especially the NBA, which has fought so hard to be a 12-month league and compete with the NFL for superiority in the sports landscape? This is a dangerous path that they're walking down, all to try and save the league financially.
Yep. I mean, you're right, man. And I think that that's where, like, this big debate that has gone on, and to be honest, it shouldn't be one, but it just goes to show a lot of our priorities are mixed up. You're now arguing dollars over lives. What's more important? Do not get me wrong. Like I've said this a number of times for everything that's been going on with my career, and even to the fact that I was really starting to see the birth of a lot of cool stuff that came to a screeching halt once this hit full stride. Nobody more than me wishes that this shit would go back to normal so that I can get back to that. But at the same time, I'm very aware of the fact that I would much rather wait and not be at fear that this shit crumbles all over again than to rush back to it. Because if I got there once, I can get there again. There's nothing that says that the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, the MLB, the MLS, all of these leagues cannot get back to their glory. but let's do it the right way so that we do never have to deal with this again, at least not from COVID. Who knows? Yeah. Some other magical disease could come up in a few years, knock on wood. But I, as far as this one, let's knock this motherfucker out and then move on like adults. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, the coach for the Nuggets, Mike Malone, he said, "Do I think it's worth it?" They asked him in an interview, and he said, "I'll be honest, in the 3 months since the season was suspended, depending on the day, week, or month, I probably would have a different answer." And that's a guy who was the number two seed last year for the West, and everybody thought Denver might be making the leap this year, and they certainly look poised to make some noise in the playoffs, and yet he's even not thinking that an NBA championship is the most important thing in the world, depending on the day. Already here, the list of players who've opted out: Avery Bradley for the Lakers, Trevor Ariza for the Trailblazers, Thabo Sefolosha for the Rockets, Willie Cauley-Stein for Dallas. Then you got Oladipo's not coming back. Davis Bertans is not coming back. DeAndre Jordan. And then coaches. Lionel Hollins for the Lakers, he's not going to be there. Jeff Bezelik of the New Orleans Hornets, he's not going to be there. So all these people, it's mind-blowing. 25 out of 351 people tested positive. 10 out of 884 staff members since July 23rd testing started. I think this is going to build and build. And by the time they hit July 31st, man, we could have way more test positive after the first few round of games. And listen, they're talking about playing 5 to 7 games a night, 5 to 7 games, or rather a day. That's also too how much perspiration stays in the air. It says you're 19 times more likely to get it in an indoor sports arena than you are an outdoor sports arena. Right. So it's just on a lot of levels, my man.
Well, because the other thing about it too is, and it's not to say that there is an air conditioning in an outdoor sports arena, but like you're that recycled air in a closed environment like that, and the reason why athletes are able to catch it that much faster amongst teams, it's like you said, not only the perspiration, but just your breath. That's the whole thing. Right. Water droplets when you're like, if one person has it, all you got to do is run through his cloud and boom, you got it, man. You know, that's why they want people to wear masks in public, because all of your water droplets are staying right the fuck here.
Stay the water droplets here.
Keep them in your mask. That way, the only person that's affected by your sickness is you.
I was born in the COVID.
You merely adopted it because I didn't wear my mask.
Well, I got Jay here, man. You got a roll?
Yeah, Jay's here. I'll say hi to his ass real fast. That's fine. All
right. I'll jump him in. Jay!
Hey, bitch. How do you do?
What's up, ho?
What's up, heifer?
There we go.
No, yeah. I'm chilling. I got to go to
I know what you got to do. Don't do your shit.
Yeah. But hopefully Nerdist went well.
It did. I had to hurry. I was like, yo, first of all, y'all need to hurry up, and I got to pee. Like, I've been drinking water this whole show, just holding it. I was like, can y'all hurry this shit up? Like, so I'm here. Well, man, I'm happy to be here.
Congratulations on getting into both spaces on time. Very proud of you.
Yeah, as a black man, this is an accomplishment, dog. I'm
very, very proud of you.
Tom, as a black man, nigga, we made it.
Also, there you missed plenty of jokes already. Also, if you notice, my shit's still up, so I did things like this, which was fun. Yeah, you know, I did. I was messing with this. I had this one with the trophies. I had this. It was great. Yeah. We're just out here just wilding, bro. It was wonderful.
Get the fuck off here. Look at you.
And with that, I shall part with y'all. Goodbye, gentlemen. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next week. At the Swaggy. Yeah, exactly. At the Swaggy Blur, TGSWAGGY. Follow me and shit. But let's go. Drip, drip. Ace about to win this bitch.
Can you leave so I can talk sports? Get him
there. There you go. Mark Ellis, real quick. Jay, he said, thanks again for the platform. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you coming on. Jay, have my daughter back by 10 p.m. or I'll call your knowledge bowl coach. I'll give you the reference to that. He saw this picture of us, and he said he would only let you take out his daughter from these pictures.
So, I don't blame him, because you look like you're going to get his daughter into a whole lot of street trafficking. Oh, yeah. Winston looked like he's going to turn his daughter into thinking, you little white devil, come have sex with a black man to show that you were with the struggle. And then me, I look like, hey, sir, listen, I'm educated in class. You see these medals in this sweater? I got your daughter, sir. Like, that's all right. So what was one of the big things you want to talk about that I missed? Because I know I saw the Patrick Mahomes deal.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that, dude. Let's have your thoughts on that because you're coming on fresh here. And I'm going to jump into Tavishka's Streamlab after you talk about it. So what's your thoughts on this, Jay? 10 years, $450 million, essentially, because they picked up the two-year contract. This is a 12-year deal, apparently, because they're picking up the two years left on his current contract. And it's $427.6 million for those 10 years plus the 2 years they're picking up here, but only about $140 million guaranteed for injury. But they haven't said if the entire contract is guaranteed. But what's your thoughts on this? I mean, the guy is number one for the last 2 years in a number of statistical categories as a quarterback, certainly Super Bowl MVP, certainly won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Is this too much too soon? He's only 24 years old. Or is this the Chiefs going, we believe in you 1,000%. Screw it. We don't want you leaving anytime soon.
It's the Chiefs believing you. You brought us a Super Bowl. Yeah. You would have had this Super Bowl 2 years in a row, technically. We want to make sure you're this dude. People tout Tom Brady as the go. We know Tom Brady's about to go, but literally he is the heir apparent to the quarterback throne.
Yeah.
He is that heir apparent. So if you're Kansas City, you are going to make sure first and foremost, he is happy. You're not going to play those games like Dallas is playing with Dak, even though they finally signed him, or any of these other quarterbacks who don't feel wanted and don't feel loved by the organization. You're going to show him how 140 guaranteed.
Yeah,
it don't matter.
Right.
He just got a basketball. He just got this Jared Goff level guarantee that Jared Goff didn't deserve, but he deserves. You get what I'm saying?
Good so point.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. I'm happy as hell for them. Like, yo, lock my man's down. And if he's with it, that's the best part. This isn't a forced contract. Yeah. This isn't anything where we're like, well, the two sides were bickering back and forth and couldn't come to an agreement. We hear, yo, 10 years, 400 mil.
Yeah.
So nothing wrong with that.
No, as I was saying earlier, the Chiefs picked up his fifth-year option for the 2021 season in April, which had put him already under contract for the next two seasons. Next year, he was going to make $2.8 million. The year after, $24.8 million in 2021. This 10-year contract puts him under the Chiefs' control, or not, but under the Chiefs' umbrella, in essence, for 12 seasons. And also, you got to respect the fact that he's making $427.6 versus $427.5 from Mike Trout. So he essentially becomes the highest-paid player in any sports league in America. Mm-hmm. Pretty incredible, man.
And again, he's deserved it. Like, this is a kid we've done nothing but praise.
Yeah, true. Very, very true.
We've done nothing but praise. You know, when he has a falter, you'd be like, well, that really wasn't, because look how he rebounded.
Right.
Whereas opposed to, and I'm like, I'm not trying to diss him, a Lamar Jackson. We're like, yo, you got to be on this when it counts.
Yeah.
And he's shown that he's on it when it counts, and he brings his team back. From, you know, being in the, like, losing, again, he brought them back to win a Super Bowl as if he was doing the same thing he'd done all playoffs, playing possum. Like, all right, you know what? You good? Y'all ready to play now? Let's do it.
Right. It's almost scary, Jay, because you go, well, he's only been, what, starting for 2.5 years? Really? Technically 2 years, 2.25 years? And he's already got a Super Bowl. He's already got, like, the last two seasons, he was number one in yards per attempt, number one in completions, number one quarterback in the QBR, the whole night, like, just incredible work. Mm-hmm. And you say to yourself, he's only 24. So you go, wait, is there another level for this crazy mother effort to reach?
And that's the thing.
Another level. Lord God Almighty, what are we going to see here?
You know? And then here's the best thing about this deal. It's guaranteed that Kansas City will work to keep the pieces around him throughout each year, because no matter what happens, even when you win Super Bowls, you lose key players. It'll always happen. It's just the nature of the game. Right. But with any key player Kansas City is set to lose, they will make sure they replace them to the best of their ability to keep that foundation in check. You know what I'm saying? Like, right now, this league is Kansas City's to lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to win, to lose.
Yeah, it looks to be set up that way, doesn't it? Because, I mean, a lot of rumors going on that the reason Eric Bieniemy didn't take a head coaching job or was encouraged not to maybe go on these interviews is that they're eyeing him to possibly take over for Andy Reid. And maybe that was part of the equation, too, where they said to Patrick, hey, We know Andy might not last too much longer as a coach. He's getting up there in age. He might want to retire soon. Eric Bieniemy will slide right on in. You guys won't miss a beat. And certainly Bieniemy has been working with Patrick Mahomes as well. So already there's an understanding and a connection between the young men. So that could be another thing that factored into this deal and factored into Mahomes signing. I mean, it's a lot of money, but you're still tying yourself to one organization for essentially 12 years. We see NBA players who signed one-year contracts because they want to have that option to be able
to. But let's not do that because I knew you were going to bring that up. But we also have players who want to stay with organizations till their end of their career. We have that in the NFL as well. You have players who, if they could have it their way, their entire careers. Again, Peyton Manning technically didn't want to leave Indianapolis. Yes,
you're right.
He didn't want to leave Indy. He was forced out. He was forced out. And just as much as Favre forced out of Green Bay.
Right. Montana out of San Francisco. Right.
And right. Yep. So you have all of these different quarterbacks who, even if they were on the bench or they were second string, they wanted to stay with an organization throughout their entire career.
Right.
Mahomes is showing you there's a positive. You and the organization are symbiotic in your relationship. You can for sure stay your whole career because 12 years is pretty much a quarterback career.
Yeah, that's for a lot of quarterbacks. You've had a successful career if you're in the NFL for 12 years.
Yep.
You don't even have to start. Just staying in the NBA for 12 years is a successful career for a lot of quarterbacks. There's a lot of turnover in that position. Certainly, you look at I don't want to mention your Bears. All right, and let's move on to a couple of streamlabs here and let's get your thoughts more. Tavishka donated. He said, Chiefs have a great board of Native Americans to assist with their Native relations. I know some of them personally, and each November they invite Native veterans to bang the drum for the opening ceremony. I am hoping to be one in the post-COVID future. That's our man down there in Oklahoma. So, maybe that's a different situation where the Chiefs have maintained this relationship with the Native American tribes, have Native American representation on the board. All of that's different. The Redskins did not have that necessarily. So,
well, because you have that arrogant ass in Dan Snyder who's like, oh no, this is what this team is, blah 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 blah, and like, no, that's not how this works,
right,
at all. And so again, this team is growing. This team is smart. Again, we were talking about the equality across the board, not just when we say Black Lives Matter, but again, the Native American relationships when it comes to sports teams.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of mascots have caught a lot of heat from things. People bring up the Blackhawks, but the Blackhawks organization have actually talked to members of the Blackhawks Council, which is why they're actually good. The Illini had to change because of Chief Illiniwek, and everybody was like, yo, you bogus. This sounds like BS, but I swear to God, my grandfather told us that we're part Blackfoot Indian. And so when, you know, it's further down, so it's not the thing that I would claim as far as like trying to use it as a boost, but you understand where people are respecting that. And you have the Chiefs who everybody at first was like, stop this. And they were like, we're going to do what we can. You know, unfortunately the fans, we can't control them. Right. Us as an organization, we won't. And we'll keep paying homage and respect because you are allowing us to do this. And we know it's a big thing. And that speaks of volumes. Right. And again, with Patrick Mahomes being a player who's spoken a lot about different things with, you know, racial equality and everything, To have that with the organization, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. We're just getting this from Adam Schefter about 7 minutes ago. He reached.
Oh, my Jesus.
More particulars here for people who may not have seen this. The final Patrick Mahomes deal is, according to Adam Schefter on Twitter, 10-year extension that's worth up to $503 million. It includes $477 million of it in guarantee mechanisms and the ability for Mahomes to have outs if the guarantee mechanisms aren't exercised. He was represented on the deal by Chris C. Abbott and Lee Steinberg. My God, how could I get signed up with those people? But like, this is mind-blowing. $503 million.
Is it? No. Because here's the thing. Once we started seeing it happen in baseball, eventually we knew it was coming over to basketball. We started slowly seeing this top tier money going. And now it was only a matter of time, new TV contracts and everything comes out, that this money can shoot up. Patrick Mahomes is worth $500 million.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing.
He's worth $500 million. I will have your baby, fam. Like, he's worth $500 million. Like, I will be Patrick Mahomes' bottom bitch, the fact that he is worth $500,000, and I'm a straight dude. You know what I'm saying? I will make sure his hair stay curly every game. I'll be like, oh, my God, do you need Do you need some Activate in your scalp? Oh my God, listen, your curls seem a little dry right here. I will massage this nigga's scalp. $500 million. That is crazy.
I'm looking right now at the updates on MoneyWise, right? He is already on Wikipedia. He's already at the top of the list. They've already moved him to the top of the list.
You know, somebody was sitting on Wikipedia like, let me know when I can hit send. Let me know when I can hit it.
$503 million. Mike Trout right behind him with $426.5 million guaranteed. Canelo Alvarez right behind them with $365 million.
That's just a DAZN. Him having a DAZN.
Exactly. That contract factors into it. Certainly. Bryce Harper behind him at 330. Giancarlo Stanton, or so I say Giancarlo Esposito for those team action people in the back. $325 million. Garrett Cole from the Yankees. What? $324 million. Let me stop
you
real quick,
but you notice one thing with the majority of these people you're saying.
Yeah.
Baseball numbers pay.
Absolutely.
Baseball has all that's been the beautiful thing about the baseball players union and everything.
Yeah.
Their players get paid.
Yes.
And it's showing that. And yep. Now here's what's about to happen. Remember, I've always said this on the show and everywhere. Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco is the reason we started having these high numbers.
Right.
Because he won a Super Bowl, but he's not really worth it on the back end. You can say we got a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, 2 years,
yep.
Super Bowl winning is worth every single dime.
Yeah, and you're right about baseball players. This is going to finish out the top 10 here in the history, right? Mm-hmm. Manny Machado for the Padres signed one for $300 million. Those are all current ones.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom three are people who've stopped playing. Alex Rodriguez is in two of the bottom 10 slots for two separate contracts. This is mind-blowing. He made $275 million for the Yankees from 2008 to 2017. That was a contract he signed there. Before that, he had signed with the Rangers for $252 million from 2001 to 2010. So that's a hell of a thing for you to line up. But shout out to your agents, Alex. You better be their bottom bitch all the time. Nolan Arenado is another guy for the Rockies. I've never even heard of Nolan Arenado. He left baseball. Oh, no, he's leaving baseball. The contract, rather, goes to 2026. So that's $260 million. So Alex Rodriguez is the only one who isn't currently playing, who's still in the top 10 of highest paid contracts ever in the history of any sport in the United States. And it's two separate contracts, for the love of God. That's pretty incredible. But still, $500 million, Jay, that's a lot of money. And now he jumps. I mean, he was scheduled to make $2.8 million. Now you're jumping into the $500 million range, man. Does that affect this young kid in any way, shape, or form? I asked Winston this as well. What do you think?
No.
Okay.
Even when he almost went to the Super Bowl and the way he even responded when they won,
yeah,
the level of humility that was still in him. Now, yeah. I know people are like, yeah, but this is $500 million now. Yeah, just as easy as that $500 million can come, it can go. Yeah. Granted, you'll still have the 140 mil was guaranteed, and then at the end of the day, you're straight for life, but you want to say, I have $500 million.
Right, right.
You know, so.
Yeah, maybe his girlfriend doesn't have to do the fitness stuff anymore. She can be just fine sitting back, take care
he
of that.
He can buy Instagram for her. Patrick Mahomes can start selling his own flat tummy tea with $500 million, okay?
I love it. Let's give you a better rate. I like this better. This is better.
I like this one.
Let's see. One other thing. We had a Streamlab to come through from Haskell. He said $450 million from Mahomes is nuts. Well, it's 500 now. With that amount of money, the Bears can sign 39 more tight ends to fill out their roster and still have $449 million left over. They could trade for tight end David Njoku and cut the other 13 tight ends. That makes sense, but Shy has none. So,
hey, cash at me, Mr. J. Washington, $5 every time you want another tight end joke. Anybody, if you think you got a good one, cash at me $5. Make sure it counts. I'm a comic. If you can't make me laugh and just make me look at you like you crazy, I'm not taking these tight end jokes.
I agree. I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right to make a stand here. People have some respect, for God's sakes. Especially Haskell. What's your team? Is it the Giants?
You may not want to talk.
Yeah, was it the Jets? It's been a while since they've even smelled the Super Bowl. So there you go. The other subject we talked about, Jay, was the NBA. We're seeing more and more. I think you caught the tail end of Winston and I talking about. I want to get your thoughts here. We're seeing more and more players testing positive. We're seeing more and more players opting out not to come back and play for their team. Certainly the Brooklyn Nets are going to have to recruit players off their D League or G League team just to be able to fill out a roster. And they're in seventh place in the East, and they still don't want to necessarily fight for a playoff spot or whatever. So even if basketball does come back at the end of the month, by the way, it's at the end of the month, is it going to be worth it? And are we going to see any product that's worth a damn?
Well, again, I guess even though we're looking at it going into postseason to the finals,
yeah,
we have to look at, like, first and foremost, we don't hear, are the players just getting infected? Yeah. We just hear players have COVID.
Right.
So we don't know if this was weeks ago, days ago, or whatnot. Mm. We may, again, after that whole big thing with Ezekiel Elliott talking about HIPAA violations and letting people know who he was,
right,
you have this where it's like, okay, cool. Do you go ahead and tell people they got it, get them outside, let them quarantine, get it out their system? There are some players that are like, it's not worth it. The money players are like, I don't really need to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, the deal is set. Unless mm-hmm. something happens where you hear a whole team, as of right now, is in that compound, is affected, we're still getting that season.
Well, all right, and I respect that completely. Dame Lillard said, I don't know how you're going to keep 22 players on 20 teams from breaking the rules. When everyone's healthy, they still break the rules. So how do you believe they're not going to break the rules while they're down there in that quote-unquote bubble in Orlando? And by the way, this has worked in other leagues in the world. Like in the mm-hmm. Premier League in England, all these players have been essentially in a bubble with their respective teams and being tested and what have you three times a week, I think, or three times a day. They're being tested to make sure they don't have anything. Same thing with the Bundesliga, the German Soccer League, and other leagues. They have tested their players consistently and created bubbles. But the difference is this bubble is in a hot spot for COVID, which is Orlando, right down there.
Well, I think that another thing, I think the biggest thing we have to go outside of just saying because it's in Orlando, because it's in Florida.
Yeah.
Let's just stop doing that automatically you're infected because it's in Florida.
Okay.
The question is, the staff at the Disney Resort, the staff that is handling the games, those are who we worry about. Those are who you're like, okay, what are you doing about them? Because you know you're quarantining teams. These employees, that's the question. You know what I'm saying? That's the bigger part. Because, yeah, of course, players are going to break the rules all the time. And, yeah, you could potentially levy fines. Once you start levying fines, the lower tier players can't afford to get those fines.
Yeah, that's good. Yep.
They can't.
So that's why they're playing, Jay, because they can't afford. They
can't afford.
They got to pay their bills, yeah.
So, again, I understand that the theory that, oh, people can still break the rules. But if you're somebody who's barely making a million a year, and I know a lot of people listening to this and going, man, a million is a lot of money. That's a million up front. That's a million gross. Now you got to take your taxes out, which because you're in a million, you're losing a lot more taxes. Yeah. Then you got to pay your agents, managers, lawyers, whoever you got on your team fees. Then you got to do, because again, most of these players take care of family.
Yeah.
So again, they can't risk that.
It's a good point. I think the only difference would be, someone pointed out here, what happens when a big player decides to opt out? The NBA can't have Giannis or LeBron opt out, that's for sure. Or Giannis, however you want to say it. I mean, this is
You want to say it. It is Giannis. I'm told right, you this. Yeah, I mean, you and I have had this discussion when we were doing Collider Sports Talk. Let's not do this.
It's fair. But yeah, I mean, like, if one of them steps off, you know, LeBron, they'll have to shoot LeBron to stop him. But like, and even then, it had to be three or four bullets, for God's sakes. He wants to play. But Giannis, I mean, it's a young guy.
Shoot his ankles. He'll be out. Trust me.
Take away his hair growth. He's a young man still. So, like, this, if he gets affected by this, and we're seeing this, like, Freddie Freeman, I don't know if you saw that over the weekend, but his wife tweeted out the conditions that Freddie Freeman, who is a baseball athlete at the peak physical condition that he is at as a player, is experiencing some of the worst symptoms. We just saw in the entertainment world, Nick Cordero, what a terrible journey he had until he passed away, unfortunately, over the weekend. 91 days in a coma. They had to amputate his leg. This can affect someone in such a negative way who's a young man, who's an athlete, because of how their body might respond to this. This could be a danger.
I mean, there's no could. It is. And at the same time, it is a danger. But at the same time, again, this is a weird thing to say. Yeah. Everybody's body reacts differently. And I know you don't want to take a chance with anybody. I know we don't.
Right.
And again, when we hear, and I've said this on Blurreds, I've said this here, we have to understand when we say healthy, we go off what we see.
Right.
Not what we know. So we can see players, they're in peak physical condition. We can see them cut up and ripped and all that. Mm-hmm. And we don't know if they're still battling health issues through that. Right. I'm not saying everyone has, but that's a thing. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? That's a thing. People forget about that. That's the thing where people have these underlying health conditions. And that's those are the ones where it's really affected the most.
Yep.
You know, because of course, with the way stories will come out, and I'm not just saying the media, it's just you're not, they don't know somebody's public health history.
Right.
They don't know their personal health history. You don't know all these things. So when you hear certain things the way they affect people, we don't know what other things. Again, I hate people saying if somebody catches COVID-19, it's a death sentence, because as we've seen, it is less of a death sentence than anything. Mm. And I'm going off numbers that we've had. I'm just going off numbers.
Right.
It is a potential thing to go worse. There's potentialities for bad shit. But again, you have to also hope the people are taking care of themselves.
Yeah. True.
Again, these players have to be willing to say, all right, I gotta be cool. I gotta be on my P's and Q's. I gotta make sure not only is my physical health going great, my immune system as well, because that's another thing. People forget, if your immune system is up, you have a greater chance of fighting this off anyway.
True.
It's all these different things. And I just see in the comments, Dang MQ says, Von Miller tested positive despite asthma, and he's since recovered. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm asthmatic, and I had to have a tracheotomy, ladies and gentlemen. Here's my trach hole. But now, you would think, oh, Jay, are you worried? No, not as worried. Why? Because I'm making sure my immune system is up first and foremost. That's the number one thing. And if somebody just says something again, if I ain't got $5, I don't care. Cause your face just giggled. Cause your face just giggled. And I don't like, I just saw you hold that in.
This right here. This just in. Winston lost his shirt after game time on the Schmodown on Twitch. LOL. I don't know what that means.
Well, if you've seen the recent, review for Doom Patrol, Winston and I did, he decided to do it with no shirt.
Oh boy. Wow.
So yeah, people were like, look at his shoulders.
Yeah. Well, I thought he was going to record an interview. I have no idea what he's doing there. So
I don't know why he.
I'm not top of it.
I don't know why he would record an interview and decide to just go ahead and be naked. I get you want the team to win and swag, but not your nipples, sir. Winston's nipples look like baby toes. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Well, we got this last story here, Jay, and we'll wrap up because I know you've been doing a lot of stuff back to back.
It don't matter.
The NBA players are negotiating right now to have to put social justice messages on their jerseys.
Oh, they've approved it.
Right. They approved it. You're right. They were negotiating. Now it's approved. Mark J. Spears is reporting it on ESPN. The MBPA, the National Basketball Players Association, and the NBA reached an agreement Friday on social justice messages that can be displayed above the number on the back of jerseys when the league resumes play on July 30th. The list of the approved suggested social messages per the source for the back of the NBA jerseys are Black Lives Matter, Say Their Names, Vote, I Can't Breathe, Justice, Peace, Equality, freedom, enough, power to the people, justice now, say her name, si se puede, for those Spanish people there, liberation, see us, hear us, respect us, love us, listen to us, stand up, ally, anti-racist, I am a man, speak up, how many more, group economics, education reform, and mentor. Missing from that list, which some were trying to put on, was free Hong Kong. And apparently because
the NBA is big in China, that's a lot of money.
Exactly. So apparently the social justice only goes so far for the NBA. But still, that's a lot of messages to put on there, Jay.
Bro, I'm going to just say it as plain as day. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I am so ready to see so many angry, racist white people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I just want to.
Yeah, right. Good point. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I am so ready to watch their heads explode because first you got NASCAR taking away the Confederate flag and playing Lift Every Voice and Sing. Yeah. The NFL says for the first week they're going to play Lift Every Voice and Sing. And now these messages are going to be in your face. And all of them talking about some, I'm not going to watch. I'm going to boycott again. Nobody cares. And because it's hilarious to me that the stand for equality, that the stand for justice, the stand for speaking out for what's right is so appalling to you all. It's like, no, don't mix it. Don't mix politics. And first of all, it's not politics. It's equality.
Yeah. It's humanity.
It's humanity. So I, you know what I'm saying? It is amazing to me the level of backlash that's like, I don't want politics in my sports. There's no politics behind it.
Yeah.
Wearing a mask is not political. Yeah. These are just real things. And people just want to say, oh, it's from the left or the right. Like, yo, equality is a regular human rights issue. It is not a political scope on either side.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's the whole point of these, you know. And I'll bring this up again. The Premier League, for the first games that came back, they all wore, instead of their names, they put Black Lives Matter on the back of their jerseys to play their games. And they're still all going down on one knee right before the game starts, all around the circle, and then getting up and having the kickoff. So it's done while the TV cameras are on them. It is done for effect. It is done to send a message that they are united in this protest, united in support of what's happening here. So all these different names you can put on there, I guess the NBA players, they want choices. And those are the choices that they were put on. I mean, the Premier League, nobody fought. It just says Black Lives Matter. Nobody fought for other slogans, just that. So this is an interesting situation where they're going to get to choose what to wear, what not to wear, and what to put on the back. Now, does this mean that these jerseys are going to be available for people to buy with these slogans as well?
Absolutely.
Walk around and wear. I wonder if that's going to happen.
What you mean, wonder? Yes. Yes. Let me tell you something.
Yeah,
in the midst of all of this change, bro, in the midst, which really hasn't happened because it's just been Band-Aids that no one's asked for. But in the midst of this movement,
yeah,
in the midst of this shift, this paradigm shift, there is still capitalism throughout it, no matter
what. Right, of course.
Think about it. How do you see so many people with Black Lives Matter masks? How do you see so many people with Black Lives Matter t-shirts? And I'm talking about Black people as well. It's not because they're being handed out. It's because they're being sold.
Yep. Yep.
So if they're being sold on a small scale like that, you already know you're about to have kids overseas, white kids overseas with Black Lives Matter jerseys.
Yep.
And it's going to be great. I understand the part of why are you profiting off of it. I get it. But at the same time, the NBA will make that statement. A portion of the proceeds will go to blah, blah, blah. We're going to automatically hear that. It ought to be on a tag on the jerseys, whatever the case may be. Yep. But at the end of the day, it happens. I want it to be that case. I want it to be where they sell it. Because also, I want to see stupid racists do this one thing they like to do when they buy shit and then burn it like it means something.
Yeah. 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 It's and you know they're going to. You know they're going to do stupid shit like that. And they should make them out of anti-flammable material. I don't even know that's possible, but wouldn't that be funny if one of some of those racists try to set fire to the jersey and they can't light them on fire? They do make anti-flammable fabric, and it is possible to make jerseys out of that. I just don't know how expensive that would be, but certainly a possibility there to explore that as well. So I'm just happy that the NBA, and it's no surprise, right? The NBA is very progressive. The NFL trying to play that anthem is hypocritical, to say the least, if they're not going to bring back Colin Kaepernick in any way, shape, or form.
First of all, we got to let that go.
Yeah?
At this point, that man does not need to play football.
No, but he could come in to be part of the NFL and help in this whole system.
Okay. I'm talking about, like, people keep talking Colin Kaepernick as a player.
Oh, right. Fair.
Colin Kaepernick in a league office or something is a different thing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Colin Kaepernick is a player. Let that go.
Okay.
The man don't need to play.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he may want to play. I get that. But look, I know you talked about the deal he just struck with Disney and Netflix.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick getting blackballed from the league has been the best thing for his career ever.
Oh, yeah.
He'd have never made all this money as a player.
That's a very good point. You could argue he was on the downside of his quarterbacking career, and the numbers weren't that strong in the last two seasons of him as a quarterback. So he might have been in that place where he's going from team to team every 2 or 3 years and not making as much money as he's making now. But what he's doing is for a positive reason. And so it has worked out for his life. And I agree. Somebody said this. Yeah, DGMC says, Kaepernick does not need the NFL. The NFL needs him. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So that's the situation there. So he's in a way better position bargaining wise than he was before. And so that's the situation there.
He knows. Look, and some people keep saying, oh, well, he's just doing this for money and blah, 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 blah. Again, money comes up regardless, no matter what the cause. I just said this when it comes to Black Lives Matter t-shirts and masks and stuff like this. Money's going to come up because you know why? Everybody talked. People forget this thing. Everybody talked about him not having a deal. We mentioned all the other lower tier quarterbacks lower than him that have deals.
Yeah.
And him not making money. And all of these companies were like, guess what? We're going to give him the money he would have made and then some.
Right.
And if I'm Colin Kaepernick, if you're Colin Kaepernick, if anybody watching is Colin Kaepernick, guess what you're doing?
Yeah.
You're taking the money.
Yep. Absolutely.
Why wouldn't you? There's nobody on this planet right now that can tell me, honestly, you can sit there and type it and bullshit yourself, that if you all of a sudden were blacklisted from a career, that all of a sudden now, because you play the league for love of the game, you play the game for the love of it and for the money you make, yeah, all of a sudden you can't do that anymore. Now you had all these financial dreams and plans and you can't do it. Now somebody comes along and says, here's a $200 million contract. We want you to be the face of our campaign for what you're talking about and what you're speaking on. If you tell me you wouldn't sign that, you're a goddamn lie.
It's true. Fair point.
And then at $200 million, only double because more people were like, yo, we want you to keep using your voice for here. Because, again, it's mutually beneficial for each party.
Yeah.
So he's straight. He can still be a great backup QB. Absolutely.
Right.
But and even if he has terrible numbers, people are like, oh, well, you know, see, he has horrible numbers. He still shouldn't have played. It don't matter because the man's bank account is set.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. He is absolutely set up for life in this point now. And yeah, Cody Erickson's out there. He says, Fight Island. I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure what that's all about. Is that a reference you understand?
I don't get it.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up here, Jay, and ask your thoughts on the name changes and all this stuff. I don't think you got a chance to opine on that before we wrap up. Thoughts on the Redskins, thoughts on the Cleveland Indians, thoughts on these these names starting to change on these teams. I know that you and Winston said last week, like, it's great that they're taking on episodes. It's great that they're talking about all this stuff. But what we were marching for, what this whole protest move was about, is about the destruction of systemic racism. Mm-hmm. Now, do these name changes on the teams help towards that goal, or is it more just cosmetic stuff?
Well, I think that definitely helps because of what Native Americans have been arguing about for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Redskins is a slur.
Yep.
And to blatantly ignore it and act like it's not a big deal is a thing. But money talks and bullshit walks. When Nike pulled all that apparel off and FedEx was like, we will take our name off this field. All of a sudden, you had the organization like, oh, shit. We're going to have a conversation about it. Because here's the problem. I guarantee you, if FedEx takes their name off the field, no other company is going to be that stupid to put their name on it.
That's a very good point, dude. At least no other company you want to be associated with.
No company you want to be, no big name corporation is going to attach their name to it. I understand, yes, you have the arena like the Smoothie King Arena for the Hornets. Right. Yeah, but they were talking a football stadium. Yeah. All football stadiums, if they're not named after somebody, they have a major corporate sponsor. Mm-hmm. And nobody, I will not in this at this moment. At this moment, if it was 6 months later, possibly. Yeah. At this moment, no company is going to jump on that. The Cleveland Indians, I that one is going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
That's a more interesting one because it should happen. It should happen.
Right.
But I don't know if the push is as hard for the Indians as opposed to the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the Indians decide to change their name out of the blue on their own,
yeah,
I mean, especially throughout all this, it will be more of a leverage to force the hand to make Washington change that name.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a different thing. It'd be a different story if there were not alternatives for the Washington team. Everybody has thrown out a million alternatives and all work.
Yeah, yeah. So there's options to go. There's and I said earlier that, you know, three minority owners who own 40% combined of the Redskins are looking to sell their ownership in the Redskins. That could be one of two things. Could be Danny gets even more control of the team, or it could be that's the first step towards the end of Dan Snyder as the owner of this team, where eventually some investor comes in, buys up that 40% and offers Danny a number that he can't turn down. That's mm-hmm. certainly possible. And it's almost like a Marge Schott, Donald Sterling situation where you've got an asshole owner who doesn't want to hear the fans, doesn't want to, hear the league. And by the way, there were people who defended Marge Schott. There were fans of the Lakers or Clippers who defended Donald Sterling.
Yes,
so
there were.
Don't put it out here that you know, Danny has support. Sure, but so did Marge Schott from the Reds fans, and so did Sterling from the Clippers fans. Any number of owners have had support, even though they've done some nefarious shit. I'm sure back in 1919, there were people defending Comiskey after the Black Sox scandal for paying players
Jack, play the Panthers peanuts. So, you know, you've got that happening all the time. So, to me, it wouldn't be – I wouldn't be, you know, hanging on the hat that Danny has some kind of support amongst the community. No, it's people wanting to see the change. And I think the pressure might just get to him once and for all, and he sells that thing, because for 25 years, people have wanted out as the owner of the Redskins.
I think something else, too. I think you just said it but didn't directly harp on it. He could be playing this whole game to now he knows – somebody will try to buy him out for a number he just wouldn't turn down.
Right.
And this is finally that moment he get it. I mean, that's a possibility. Yep. Like, he could be like, yo, somebody eventually is going to want to buy me out.
Yep.
And then they throw him
$5
billion. Yep. And then you're only worth what? Three. What is he worth? Like,
less than that. That's for sure.
You're worth less than that. But somebody's willing to throw you $5 billion to take control of the team and have you out as the owner. You're going to go.
Yeah, no. He's worth right now $2.6 billion is his worth for Snyder. He purchased the Redskins for a then record price of $800 million in 1999 rather. And he sold his communications company in 2000 for $2.1 billion. So, you know, as of June 2020, he's $2.6 billion. That's his worth according to Forbes.
What's the worth of the team?
The team, let's see what Washington Redskins net worth is. Let me see if I can type quickly. Here we go. Net worth right now, it's number 14 at $3.1 billion, tied with the Cubs. That's incredible. And that's
do you not see somebody throwing you again? If these stake owners all of a sudden say, we're done, somebody don't swoop in like, yo, how much does it cost you?
Yeah, right. $5 billion. Here's $6 billion. It's over.
Somebody wants to come back in this. So.
Oh no. Who does? Oh.
That bitch.
Oh no.
I heard y'all were talking shit about my nipples. That's what I heard.
I don't know what the fuck. First of all, anybody think about your nipples?
I'm just saying. Taviska was out here talking about over on Twitch, talking about Jay says your nipples look like baby thumbs or some shit like that.
I said baby toes.
You were doing an interview. What is this?
Why are you doing an interview?
I finished the interview. That's why I embarrassed your manager, and now here I is. Okay,
I know that.
I called Gucci out. I'm out here with the. I literally came in here like this.
Oh no!
No!
No! Oh man, come on! You're on my show.
I came in here like this. I was like, Gucci, where you at, man? Come on, Gucci. Like, what? It's
PG. What are those 5-pound weights? What are those things?
Demolanta is going to kill it. Okay? That's what's going to happen. I mean, it's Ace Guy. I mean, he's good, but we're the exchange. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a fair point. We are the exchange. There's nothing more to argue about. And your man is the favorite. And we hope he plays up to that status as the favorite.
I put my headphones back on. The first thing out of your mouth is your man is the favorite to win it all.
Demolanta is an underdog in the situation. Everybody,
I just want him to keep his shirt on.
He said your nipples look like baby toes. I don't know if that's true.
Nipples look like a chocolate bar that was stuck in your pocket.
Wait, let's take a look here.
I mean, the funny part is I did go and grab the 10s because if I was going to do this bit for an entire 30 minutes, I wasn't going to grab my 20s or my 25s.
Look at that taco meat in his chest. Oh,
that's look at the what?
Is that hair or just dark shadow?
Yeah, it's a little bit of hair. What the fuck is your problem?
Cover that shit up.
Here we go. Dev Drano said, stop hating on the human body.
Thank you. There you go. How disrespectful in a motherfucker. Is that a human
body?
This does mean Tom's not coming on the channel, not shirtless. If he comes on my channel, he wears a shirt.
I love Winston like my brother, but Winston right now look like one of them dudes that you see on a spring break party video with a pin. Are those melted kids?
First of all, that shit doesn't make sense. If you're going to do that, you should have said Hershey Kiss. Do better. God Kiss. Damn. Are you fucking dumb? Kiss looks like that. A Kit Kat is a fucking bar. Are you smoking something? Like, for real. Do better. You don't come play the dozens with me. You better come with that real fire, that's motherfucker.
Fair. Don't play with Winston. That's for sure. He can go.
Mm-hmm. You better bring that fire.
All right, we got to wrap this show up. We're at 4:00. Mm. I got to wrap this thing up. All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen, both for joining the show and coming on. Please plug everything you got going on as we wrap up. Let's start with Hershey Kisses over there. Go ahead.
You can find. as I said before, I think you said my name, but Jay's laughing, so it's fine. Winston, at the Swaggy Blur, THESWAGGYBLERD. What, tomorrow is Blurreds in the Hood with this gentleman at 2 p.m. I will have my shirt on for that, so don't worry. Wednesday, Positive Black People News will drop. And so will the Star Wars tournament with Ace. You can definitely see me on that too. Yeah. And then Thursday, Swag Back Thursday, twitch.tv/theswaggyblurred. We do a retro game, and I give you a hip-hop or R&B mixtape that goes paired along with the year that game came out. So it's all nice. It's all love, baby. It's all love.
I love that. That sounds like a great idea. What do you got going on, Jay? Spit it out, my man.
All right. Twitter, Instagram, Mr. Jay Washington. Please follow me on IG. I'm trying to get my numbers to 10K so I can add the swipe up feature. So yeah. As much as I need it on Twitter, I need it on IG, especially because in the business we're in, your numbers actually play a big factor. So I
they
need
matter.
That.
To some people, they matter. Yeah, go ahead.
To a lot of companies, they matter, dog.
Companies, they do.
They definitely matter to companies. So I need that. My supervillain squad on Patreon, patreon.com/MrJWashington. For those who are new to the squad, my $25 tier is my one-on-one with the supervillain. So you sit up for an hour with me and we talk about it, whatever. I'm editing the first one I did with Alberto Rios. It's going to go up for the patrons. And then later that week, it'll go out publicly so you can have that. The Mad Titan podcast. Check out the recent one. Me and Winston did it together. We got to talk about a lot of black people.
Oh, so,
like, we really got to talk about some black shit. Wow. It wasn't like Blurreds, but speaking of Blurreds, like he said, Tuesday, Wednesdays, check out my Stargirl reviews. I drop on my channel, youtube.com/JAYWashington80. Thursdays, the Doom Patrol reviews drop as well. I'm doing Zoom comedy shows this Thursday and Saturday and then next Friday. Because, damn it, I just need the stars to tell them what they're seeing.
I respect that. Well, thanks to those gentlemen, and thank you to Mark Ellis for joining us as well. You can follow Mark Ellis wherever you follow your Mark Ellis's.
On Mark Ellis Live.
At Mark Ellis Live, where you find him there. There's so much he's doing right now, like sitting on the couch with Molly talking about the Redskins. But you can follow me at The Rogue Gazez on Twitter and on Instagram. And please subscribe to the channel below. We really appreciate you all coming aboard the Outlaw Nation. We're trying to move this thing up to 15,000 subscribers as we march towards 20,000 subscribers. Of course, follow me on all the social media. And remember, do me a favor. Like and share this one as well. If you're watching us after we've already done it live, leave your comments below and hit the like button. The more likes we get, the more comments we get, elevates the show, elevates the channel and the YouTube algorithm. All of that helps. And when you share the show, even more so, it lets your family and your friends know that this is a show that you enjoy, a channel you enjoy, and maybe they'll come aboard as well. So all of that is a way to help out the Outlaw Nation to get the reach going. You know, this is a diverse channel, and I appreciate it being as such. Give it more love. Give it more attention. Share it with the world, for God's sakes. And let's keep it going. All right, that's it from the three of us. We will talk to you next week with another brand new episode of Game Time here on the Outlaw Nation channel. Take care until then.